I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Welcome to show number 1081. Andy Mazur is here for Dave Ennett because Dave has worked 2 days in the month of January and he's winded during the month of January. He's winded. He's at a Northwestern game.
Yeah, he had a game at Wisconsin last night. Northwestern a win.
It's good.
Yeah, 60-52.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Andrea's here.
Morning. Happy Friday, Steve.
Got your early heart sweater on for early Valentine's Day?
I do. It's a little heartful today.
You're all fluffy and hearty.
Yeah, thank you. As are you.
Thank you very much. Mary Vandeveld, Steve, seventh floor underway, working hard.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
More importantly, Amy Cochran's birthday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. It's my nephew Luke's birthday, too.
What's Luke do?
He's 30 years old today.
What does he do?
What does he do? Yeah. I think he works in marketing. Yeah.
So you're close then?
Yeah, I'm close. He changes jobs quite often, so I'm not quite sure.
Sounds like he's in show business.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Luke. And Sandberg and Joe are here. And hi.
Oh, hi, you, Steve.
Well, we don't have time. Okay. Let's do the top six at six. And here it is.
Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
The Super Bowl is Sunday. I have watched all of the Super Bowl commercials that have been released. And I can tell you now, everybody's going to have the same reaction that they always have. And that is that, I was hoping for more.
Yeah.
I was hoping there'd be something more. I'm sad that they're released ahead of time. They should be left for the game.
Yes, they should.
I agree.
And because they're not, they ruined it for everybody. Yeah. So why did I watch them?
Why?
Hey, it's my job.
That's right.
To know stuff.
Disappointing.
The Lindsay Vonn commercial is the best commercial I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, wait, good. I haven't seen that one.
No, it's good. That's good.
It's for the Olympics.
Best commercial you've ever seen in your life.
Oh. I've cried every time I see it. My sister's been sharing it with everybody.
Are you drinking at home again?
No, it's because it's about the Olympics, and I'm not an Olympic person. But when you
see it's well done. Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Yeah, don't say it. I have not seen it.
Well, you guys should look it up now. She has it on her own Instagram.
Yeah, it's really hard to find. If you Google Lindsay Vonn Super Bowl commercial, you'll get 9,000 different takes.
She's an incredible woman, and I don't know if you don't feel like so proud to be a strong woman and like
I know I do.
USA, and it's
I know
amazing.
I do. I've
She's
never
amazing,
felt more so. Like a strong woman than I do today.
This is awesome. I can't wait to see it.
But at any rate, the Super Bowl, in case you missed it, Sunday, Eagles. Patriots. Let's go now to Las Vegas, where Andy Mazur is standing by. Latest line?
4.5.
4.5, meaning?
Patriots are favored by 4.5 points.
And if I were to bet that on the Patriots, if they were to win by 4 or 5, I would win?
Yes.
And anything less than 4?
Correct.
Is a loser?
Correct.
But I could pay for something called the hook.
You could.
And it'd be a little extra something for my bookie.
There'd be a little extra juice, yes.
It's sort of like insurance and blackjack.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Yeah.
Dealer's showing the ace, you know, you want to protect yourself, you get a little insurance.
A little insurance, that's what it is. So for you gamblers out there, good luck.
That's what the hook is, though, the 4.5.
The half
is so
the hook, yeah.
You wouldn't get it if the Patriots won by 4. That would be the under the 4.5. So the Patriots would need to win by at least 5.
I'd pay for the hook, so 4 would still be a winner for me, right?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I not explain that well?
No. I was trying to correct Andy because you said
4 or 5. Because Andy was wrong and I'm not because you're sucking up to me?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's still clapping for you.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good, Joe. Yeah. That's good. That's what I called by you.
Good work, Joe.
All right, item number 2.
I just say I'm watching the Lindsay Vonn commercial, and I don't know if I can get through the rest of the show. Sorry.
Donald Trump is tweeting again. We'll get to that shortly. He is expected to tell Congress sometime this morning that he has no objections to releasing the much talked about memo. It's a very confusing story for most people who have a life and would like the government to do the job they're elected to do. However, it's vitally important, and it is the absolute biggest obstruction of justice so far, even bigger than everything else we've seen so far. Where it goes after it's sent back to Congress remains to be seen, but now there is talk of Devin Nunes, whose office crafted this poorly worded, poorly put together memo, of Devin Nunes being eventually charged with obstruction of justice as well.
You know, can I just say one thing? If they're going to release, if he's going to release the memo, do it in its entirety. I do agree that it shouldn't be cherry-picked. If you're going to do it, do all of it. Don't release something that, you know, when you're waiting for an indictment or something and everything is blacked out,
yeah,
you know, they take the marker. Don't do that. Just have full transparency.
After it's released, Christopher Wray may be resigning.
Yeah.
Rod Rosenstein, the titular head of the Justice Department, may be resigning as well.
And if Chris Wray resigns, that would be extremely unfortunate.
Well, you know, it'll be very difficult to get a new FBI director approved. At some point, the rest of the country is going to have to wake up and realize that we're already in a constitutional crisis. We don't need to wait for one.
You can't keep going through it. You know, it's like going through to the ice cream place and you taste the butter pecan. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, you taste the mint chocolate chip. I don't like this.
If
the head of the FBI is not an ice cream flavor.
If you are hiding from a crime that you've committed or crimes that you're likely to be convicted of, you'll do whatever you can. And this is what Donald Trump does. When Donald Trump gets caught with other women, he blames the accuser. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? And that's what's happening again here. And why certain members of Congress are going along is beyond explanation. And Paul Ryan caved like a cheap suit yesterday. Anyway, more on this later. Ride sharing surging in Chicago. I don't understand why this would increase congestion, though. I've seen this headline all over. If more ride sharing is going on, why would that be more congestion? I think it'd be left. Let's go live to Joe, who's in the back of an Uber right now. Joe, how's traffic?
Yeah, slow down, buddy. All right. We're cruising along. Yeah, we're moving.
So there's not that much congestion.
Nope, there isn't.
Okay. All right, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, buddy.
That's Joe live from an Uber.
Did you see the
numbers?
But
am I wrong about that?
Yeah,
if you have more people in a car that's being shared as opposed to your car, why would that be more congestion? Let's go live to Steve in traffic.
I think the idea is that you're taking people away from public transportation. There's some evidence that people are not taking public transportation.
Oh, so they're taking less buses and trains.
Yes.
Look at these numbers, though. When it started, there were 26,000 Ubers, then Lyft. Now, 118,000.
Well, that would be more congestion.
Yeah. More cars.
Well, Joe just must have been on a good street.
And plus, the metro fares just went up in CTA, so there's another reason.
Yeah, but it's still more expensive to ride share than it is to jump on a metro.
But it's a little more convenient sometimes.
Next. The oldest son of Fidel Castro killed himself yesterday morning. The official website for Cuban news, the government website, said that Fidel Castro Diaz Balart had been in a deeply depressed state. A brief note read on state television said his treatment had required a hospitalization regime and an outpatient follow-up, and he was on his own for a period of time, and that's when he took his life. So, a sad story. He was in his late 60s. Next. The Chicago Bulls in the news. They acquired a first-round pick, the world-famous Omar Asik from the Pelicans.
Used to have him.
I had Omar Asik, but I found a salve that if you put the salve on it, it goes away.
It's over-the-counter now, too, by the way. Yeah.
Nikolai Mirotic goes to the
Pelicans.
Goes
to New Orleans, yeah.
Okay. And boy, and a restless nation can sleep again.
Correct.
And finally, snow, below zero wind chills, and ugly weather all weekend. Is that right?
Yep. We're going to get some snow on Saturday, a little bit more on Sunday. But I do have a silver lining to this. This winter, we've normally had 20 inches by now. We've had 10 this winter. So we're half of where we should be for a normal value. And January, same thing.
Are you trying to make us feel better?
Or
are you getting paid off by Mother Nature?
Skilling is taking me to lunch.
All right.
No, but again, normal January is 10 inches. This January, we just had 4.
Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, 60-Minute Men. Lou, next. You want to be the first caller for Lou? You know the number, 312-981-7200.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
Melissa from Rockford, hi.
Hi.
Stand by 1 second. Let me get Mr. Manfredini in here because I know you didn't call for me, Melissa. I know you don't need.
Of course I did.
No, please. Lou, say hi to Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
What issue do we have, Melissa? When I say we, I mean you and Lou.
Well, I know that you have kind of addressed outdoor issues with pruning and such on trees before, but I'm just wondering, I have like, I always forget what it's called, but it's the tree that looks like an umbrella.
A willow?
And no, it's a little tree, like an ornamental, like a some kind of a cherry tree.
Like a
tree.
Japanese maple?
Don't think the tree's that important, Lou. What's the question?
So anyways, I need to trim it, but I don't want to trim it too soon and ruin it because it's really expensive, but I don't want to let it grow anymore when spring comes. So
good time to trim a tree, Lou.
Not now. No, I would wait. But what I would do is, I mean, we're getting close, right? Early spring pruning, while fall is really the ultimate time as the tree starts to go dormant, but they're still dormant now. And so pay attention to the weather. And once you start to see like a 10-day forecast where they say, hey, you know, in 10 days, we're going to be consistently in the 40s, which I know it's been an odd winter now, but I would probably, depending on how February goes, if we start to warm up towards the tail end of February, that's when I would do the pruning. And remember that when it comes to pruning those things, you really have to be mindful, like step back away from it about 15, 20 feet so you can really see the shape that you want, and then carefully do that trimming so that keep stepping back so you can view what it's going to look like, because I see a lot of people that make that mistake. They're like, oh, I'll clip this, I'll clip that and that and that, and then all of a sudden, you know, you look like a character from The Simpsons.
It's like a bad haircut, Melissa.
Right.
Right, yeah, I don't want that, definitely. No. So.
All right, well,
end of February.
Listen, here's what I have for you. Melissa, you're a big winner. You're a big winner. You've won an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphones. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. Hold on, Melissa. Thank you for listening. Hi, Lou.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Caller has an important question. They'd like to know how a water softener works, because water's already soft.
Well, it's not. That's not necessarily true.
Well, if you like to put your fingers in it, it's not hard.
No, true.
Unless it's frozen.
Hard water has to do with deposits that are inside of it, and you actually use salt, which is kind of funny, to filter through the water. So there's a holding tank, a brine tank, that the salt, a traditional water softener, will work through. That the water circulates through that. Then there's another pressure tank that then dispenses that. Treated water, just a little bit of it, with the rest of the water that flows through your system.
Well, you've been listening to How a Water Softener Works, a new feature. Andre.
Lou, morning.
Hi.
I actually have a question for you today.
All right.
So I have these built-in bookshelves in my condo, and the top ones are mounted and they open. So when I'm opening them now, the side on the interior, I don't know if it's just because wear and tear, are peeling off. Should I just peel that off, like strip it? And is there, like, I guess a cabinet?
You mean the interior wall on the bookcase?
No.
Is it like a stained finish veneer?
Yes.
Mm.
So it's like when you open it up, the part that's facing you when it's open is starting to strip.
How big a tear is it?
It's probably 3 inches.
Yeah, you got to move.
And if you could push it back, like, when you look at it, it's like, oh, if I could just push this back, it would be fine.
Well, I was thinking I could try and super glue it.
No, no, no.
No.
Can you peel it back enough that you can get to the back of both sides, like the part of the door and the part of the veneer?
Yes.
Okay. So get a little bit of spray contact cement.
Oh, okay.
Spray contact cement. Okay. You got a brand name?
Okay.
Well, 3M makes it.
3M.
Okay. What you want to do is, if you can take the door off, that would be optimal. If not, With that little spray, put a little newspaper up behind it because it does spray, overspray a little bit, and tape it up. And then a little shot of spray on the backside of that and the actual door itself. Spray it a little, just so it's a light coverage. Wait about 30 seconds and then press it back into place, and it'll stick and you'll be fine.
How long should she hold it when she presses it?
Another 30 seconds.
Okay, perfect.
30 seconds
that
wait.
That I can do. Perfect.
30 seconds press. This is like the green wire and the red wire.
Yes.
Not 29 seconds, 30 seconds.
30 seconds,
right. Why
exactly.
Does the clock keep ticking?
And thank you, Lou. Otherwise, I'll move.
don't move.
847, if I had a family of mice living behind an insulated wall in the basement, is there anything I could do besides tearing out the drywall and replacing it? There's a smell coming from the wall, too. Is there any way to prevent it from happening again? If you've got a family of mice on the wall, I don't know, maybe invite them over.
Yeah, no. What you could try is there is a product by Bonide called Mouse Magic, which is a repellent that comes in these... it's sort of an evergreen, minty, smelling sachet.
Sounds delightful.
And if you put that by the wall... The odor is going to permeate through the wall, and they don't like it. And so it might drive them away.
Mice don't like mint?
They don't like that smell of mint. They do not.
What about like a mint chocolate ice cream? Because everybody likes that.
Well, but then when it melts, it makes a huge mess.
Hmm. That's fantastic. They like cheese.
They do like cheese. We're trying to get rid of them. We're not trying to keep them there.
Oh, sorry.
Right.
Sorry.
That's if you wanted to attract them.
708, Lou, what's the best way to get rid of termites? This is from the bear who wants us to know that no, eating them is not an option.
I mean, it's a huge issue with termites, right? It's not an easy fix depending on what the location of your home is, the kind of trees that are outside. On the inside right now, if they're in, because they're not certainly not outside, the secret of the exterminator world is a product called boric acid. And so in the areas where you see the evidence, you're going to sprinkle that boric acid so that they run over the top of that and take it back to the colony and eliminate the rest. But the structural issue is key. I mean, I think a few weeks ago we talked with somebody about carpenter ants, and that does need to be inspected because there can be major issues with that where a professional exterminator might be able to peel back and look and determine whether or not there's major damage or not.
It's Lou Manfredini. He's on tomorrow morning. What time?
I start at 7.
And we are until 10, aren't you?
7 to 10.
And people can call then, but it's easier to call on Friday because you're so popular on Saturday mornings. Oh, you almost have to have a reservation.
Right. And no, I don't like anybody to make eye contact with me on Saturdays.
Of course not.
Right.
Did you want to take a second here to wish Amy Cochran a happy birthday today?
Amy Cochran, yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I thought you might.
That's very nice.
She's the best, that kid of mine.
Yes, she is. My mother did a wonderful job with her.
Thank God, right? Thank God. And what are you talking about on TV this morning?
This morning we're talking about water quality and how you can improve the taste and the smell and how to make sure your water in your home is safe.
Your segment usually seems to be done with Robin. Is she your favorite?
She is my favorite. Okay. Has been for many, many years.
All right. So you don't like anybody else on that show?
Not really.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? I take that back. I do like Demetrius Ivory. He's easy on the eyes.
But he's not on that show anymore.
I know, but I still like him.
Okay. All right. That makes me laugh.
Love you.
Love you. See you. Bye. That's Lou. And we're back with the headlines on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Why the Jeopardy music, you ask? Because something rather remarkable on this Super Bowl weekend to come in this Super Bowl week happened on Jeopardy. I don't see Jeopardy very often, mostly because it makes me feel bad. this clip just sort of jumped out at me. All right, let me go live to Joe Romano. Now, Joe, here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this plays better if we go through each question and then play the clip in total?
No, because the... I think the jokes play better, or what Alex says in between each question plays better in full.
So we need to hear the full clip first.
I would think so.
Unedited full clip from Jeopardy. The category is football. Roll it.
Football 200. Your choice, do or don't name this play in which the quarterback runs the ball and can choose to pitch it to another back. An option play. Ryan?
Football 400.
I can tell you guys are big football fans. Tom Landry perfected the shotgun formation with this team. Dallas Cowboys. Do you think we should go to commercial? Ryan?
take it down to 600.
Okay, by signaling for one of these, a returner can reel in a kick without fear of getting tackled. Fair catch. Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis's U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the Purple People Eaters? We're going to take a break. I have to talk to them.
Oh, for the category.
Wow. Zero
for, and by the way, before you get too hard on Ryan, the other two numbnucks didn't even chime in.
No.
I was surprised they didn't even pull down their, put down the buzzer.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even pretend to
not
try and guess.
Not even close. Offsetting penalties, fair catch. Option. This was not exactly trigonometry.
Tom Landry.
Tom Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Not one.
Right. Move on to chemical equations.
Not one single question. Give me the one. Can you give me the $1,000 question one more time? I want to hear the $1,000 question one more time, because Trebek's pretty much given up at this point. It's as funny as Alex Trebek has ever been. He's actually a funny guy.
He's good.
Here's Trebek for $1,000.
Let's look at the $1,000 clue, just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
As Minneapolis's U.S. Bank Stadium prepares to host Super Bowl 52, I'm looking at the Ring of Honor with names from this defensive line that took the Vikings to four Super Bowls.
If you guys ring in and get this one, I will die. Who are the Purple People Eaters? We're going to take a break. I have to talk to them.
Listen, I know people have a particular interest in things they're not interested in.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to think about the answers that come up and the questions that come up on this show. And you don't get those. And you can't pull the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Landry and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Just highly entertaining. One of the reasons I wanted to play it for you is because Jeopardy makes most of us feel bad. Now you can feel better.
Yes.
But there's not too often.
Because I know as you go to work this morning, you had all of those.
Right.
Yes?
It's not too often they have sports as, you know. The
I wonder why.
Yeah. Well, now they know. They don't study that. The contestants are told to study
Battle
that.
Of the nerds. You know, we live in a time where nerds rule the world. So it is kind of fun when nerds blow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Did that Ryan guy end up winning any money, do we know? I mean, he must have been the leader in a clubhouse, so he had control of the board.
Yeah,
yeah. I heard that he won, but then he got beat up and his milk money was taken afterwards. So.
The answer is a trickle of sweat down my back as I run and scream in a high-pitched tone. Hey, listen, join Dave Ennett and WGN Radio in the fight to end lung disease. Sunday, March 11th at the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. It's presented by United Healthcare at Presidential Towers. You want more information how to join Dave's team? You can join Patty Vasquez's team if you like. You can climb 1, 2, 3, or all four towers, and you can do it to help fight lung disease. Help the American Lung Association. Go to fightforairclimb.org or WGNradio.com.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
If you entered our Steve-a Las Vegas contest, you're being judged right now. All of the entries are being judged, and we will have a winner in short order. It's not going to be today. I'm not even sure it's going to be Monday, but obviously in the next few days we're going to be announcing the winner of the Steve-a Las Vegas contest. And Sandberg, come here for a second. I have exciting news. You remember in the beginning, I was wondering about this couple, and I was going to renew their vows.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And remember, I couldn't find the email with their contact information, and then I started to wonder if I just imagined the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I found the email.
You did. I saw you sent it last night.
So, did you read it?
Yeah, because the funny thing is...
Because I'm like Trump. I don't read it.
Right. It's only like three sentences long, this email.
Yeah, just like Trump.
And Steve wrote in there... maybe we can renew their vows at the stadium if they're going to the game. These people in the first sentence say, hey, Steve, we've got tickets and we're going to the game. So I'm like, wow, he didn't even scan the first sentence. Yeah.
He
just, I really
he
can't
just
believe
avows.
I cannot
it was
believe
a busy night.
That he found the email, that you found the email, because you had talked about this email and then you started doubting
maybe, yeah,
you
got,
maybe it came via text or was
I
it didn't on
know,
social
I thought maybe
media.
I made it up.
Yeah, and I was there's no way that this man is finding this email.
So you're gonna contact them today and I'll possibly renew their vows live on the air.
Yes. Yes. So.
Because I am an ordained minister.
Yes, you are.
For the Universal Life Church.
I'm nice. Even amazed that he found the email because you,
you
had to.
You. Thank
no,
you
no, no.
Thank
well,
you.
No, this won't be a compliment because you have to go into the search bar and type vows.
I don't
whatnot,
know how.
Because it takes time.
When our boss, we had to sign a thing. Everyone, all companies have to sign a thing that you have no conflicts of interest. And very
that's all I do have is conflicts of interest.
There's a very specific search for it. And Steve was telling our boss, Stephanie, I didn't get the email. And I'm like, have you searched? Have you searched?
Yeah,
and
oh, yeah.
He's like, no, I haven't searched. Wow. Haven't searched. Well, Stephanie and I took over his email, typed the first two letters of the person's name, and there it is.
There
was no search. He didn't search.
Well, I searched like you wouldn't believe. It was crazy.
Just search conflict.
But it was good to find that at the end of the day yesterday, because at the beginning of the day yesterday, if you were listening, I had a period during the show between 8:30 and 9 where I knew no one's name.
Yes.
I got every name wrong for a half an hour. And Wendy came in and sweetly said just before the Bill and Wendy show, you having a stroke?
Yeah. She diagnosed you.
Yeah,
you know, in your defense, I think you started forgetting people's names with the Nick DeGiglio.
I did. I started very early.
Yeah.
But then I sort of rallied for a couple of hours, and then the wheels came off again. So you're listening to A Wreck. That's me, the Steve Cochran Show. At 6:53, the president is tweeting this morning, and everybody take a deep breath for a second. Just take a deep breath for a second. We're going to come back and go over the tweets. We're going to talk about, you know, the stuff that's going on with this memo, which could be released at any moment this morning, and why it is a great threat to America as we know it. How could a 3.5-page memo be a threat? There is a perfect storm of stupid going on like we've never seen. And you're saying, well, how could that be? It's been going on for 2 years. Well, we'll see. So stand by for that. Joining me now is June Bernard, President and CEO of the Driscoll Foundation. And she's got a cool event coming up. We want to give you a minute to learn about it. Hi, June.
Hi. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Boys and Girls Clubs, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Chicago and Chicago's right. West Side, gathering for the second annual STEM Club event sponsored by the Driscoll Foundation. First off, explain to folks why the STEM piece of this is so important.
Well, it's an opportunity for these kids who, you know, have the after-school Boys and Girls Club. It's a chance for them for 4 full weeks to work on science projects. It's kind of like the old-time science fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them all kinds of opportunities to think about all kinds of things in science. So, like, they're going to do this year, there's one kid doing it's a group. Each club works, you know, together. Liquid-propelled rockets.
Nice!
You know, it's like, nice. Like, remember when we used to do the volcanoes?
Sure.
You know, that was everybody did that for. But these kids are way, way beyond volcanoes almost. Then another group is doing crystal, they're going to make rock candy, sugar crystals.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah. Last year they did slime.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, June, Boys and Girls, I think one of the original mentoring programs going back many, many, many years. But people are always saying, how can I get involved? I don't have a lot of time. That's the beauty of Boys and Girls Club. You can do an hour a week.
Right.
You can do 20 hours a week.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And they need volunteers. And the volunteers they have are incredible. Yeah. They really work with these kids. So this is a great opportunity that they get because there's 10 clubs that will compete in this whole day, this showcase.
Oh, they all got to build a boat, right?
Well, that's going to be part of it. Yeah, that's going to be so cool. Last year, they built bridges with toothpicks and gumdrops. That was so cool. And then the winner was the one whose bridge didn't collapse. And this time, they're going to do boats. They're going to make them out of popsicle sticks, which will be the wood,
mm-hmm.
and aluminum foil, which will represent the steel. And then they'll have cups that they'll be able to use as paper cups with some weights in it. So the winners, the team that wins, will be the one that whose boat floats.
That's cool. Right, right, because if the boat sinks, that's an issue.
Right.
Yeah, like you don't want to be on it.
The whole point of this is to make sure kids understand that your life has a purpose. There's goals to spur your curiosity and to show you paths that you could walk down or run down that could help you maximize your life. And
you're good.
Well, that's not my first day.
Right.
So, and the Driscoll Foundation is the sponsor here. For these West Side kids, school kids in particular, it's a wonderful thing. So what do you need from us? How can we help?
Well, we just need to get out there and let people know that kids, especially this group here, you know, this fifth grade, eighth grade, those are tough times for them. So we're out there trying to create a programs which will give kids the opportunity to find out that there's a real purpose for life, that there's hope. So that's what we're out there doing. We're working with some group now, even in Naperville. There's a lot of kids here out in Naperville that aren't, they have needs. Let's put
sure,
it that way.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter how, doesn't matter how cliche, successful your community is. There's always folks in need.
Right. So that's, you can just, you're having us on here today is a great help, because we really want to make a difference with our kids and give them hope.
All right. The website for Chicago's Boys and Girls Clubs is what?
Well, I don't know. Boys and Girls Club in Chicago.
Well, Audrey's Googling it up right now. But
that was a test.
But here's the deal. Here's the reason I bring it up is because throughout the year, there's other events and other ways you can help. Yes. And it's not just this. But you've got it under?
It's bgcc.org. Bgcc.org.
All right, June, I appreciate the info.
Hey, you're the best. Thanks again for having me.
You have a good day. Thanks. We'll come back with the news coming up. Rick Pearson coming up. And let's see. Oh, free Hawks tickets. How great is that? Hamp next hour as well. We'll do our Super Bowl predictions. It's all in the 7 o'clock hour. Did I mention free Hawks tickets? Yep, free Hawks tickets. Hawks last night lose to Vancouver. Got an early lead. Couldn't hold it. And it got ugly after that. Vancouver ends up with a 4-2 win. Of course, we like to boil it all down into a snack-sized portion that you can have, especially if it's not the best news. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Here it is.
Canucks win this game 4-2.
That's plenty. So there you go. That is all you need to know about last night's Blackhawks game. Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing wants to give you free tickets. So let's focus on the good news. About 20 minutes from now, the news is next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7-Eleven, Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune, Channel 9, CLTV, but most importantly to me, WGN Radio, every Sunday morning for the Sunday Spin, award-winning, record-breaking, all you need in Sunday talk to get your politics day started off. You can start fighting with each other over politics at 7 a.m. just by listening to Rick. Hello, buddy.
Good morning. We don't fight in that morning.
No, you don't fight. But I'm saying people can start their own fights because they'll be educated.
That's right. We have a conversational kind of program.
Yeah, we don't do the scream at each other thing here. We just don't do it.
Yeah, there's plenty of that on TV later on Sunday, yes.
So you got a guest you want to plug?
Well, I've got my good friend Amanda Vinicky from WTTW Channel 11. She'll be on. We'll be talking about Governor Rauner's state of the state address, as well as some of the political developments that have occurred in the governor's race.
Let's start with the state of the state. The governor chose, the governor's people and the governor chose to go, in quotes, soft this time. There weren't specific slams. And the state of the state, according to the governor, is ready, as in ready for you to invest, ready for you to fight for what's right here. Is the state of the state traditionally like the state of the union, long on word, short on substance?
Yes. I mean, what is more about the substance of the words this time is obviously it's a campaign speech. It's a re-election speech for Governor Rauner. But if you go back to look at his original State of the State speech when he took office, or some of the remarks he made during his 2014 campaign, general election campaign, it's the same thing. Nothing has changed. And the fact of him kind of using the terms Illinois is, you know, ready for business, or we've laid the seeds for an Illinois renaissance. Those are kind of words to say there isn't really a lot to show for the first 3 years I've been in office.
Well, and I asked him yesterday, specifically, I said, what's going to change? What's going to change in regards to how you're able to work with block of Mike Madigan and you know, because it's the one question, I'm sure you too, Rick, the one question I get from people over and over again is, why can't the governor get anything done? Why is the Speaker of the House the problem? And I asked the governor to explain it in, you know, the most basic terms, which he didn't really do. But the obvious answer here, if you paid attention in civics classes, it's got to be voted positively or negatively by the House, and Mike Madigan controls what's voted on. So the governor hasn't admitted to his own failures in his first term. He also didn't want to run for a second term when he first announced 4 years ago. But yet he's back, and it's going to become, in all likelihood, the battle of billionaires, because J.B. Pritzker is certainly your leader on the Dem side, correct?
Well, I mean, if you go by the money, that's absolutely right. In fact, last night, the Pritzker campaign reported another $7 million coming from J.B. Pritzker. That brings him up to $49.2 million that he's put into his self-funded campaign for governor. So, and that's vastly more than what Governor Rauner put into his first campaign. But Governor Rauner also has invested $50 million in this re-election campaign. So, yeah, but the back to the whole issue is, I think Rauner has been very successful in demonizing Mike Madigan and making him a known figure statewide.
Well, come on, give me some credit with that, too.
Okay, yes, okay. Absolutely. But having done that, the continued It's Mike Madigan, I think, is starting to wear thin on people. Mm-hmm. And people want to know, okay, he's there, he's not going away.
Right.
It's not. So what are you actually really going to do to make things different next time? I mean, when Rauner came into office, he used the same terms about, we need bipartisan solutions, let's think outside the box, all of that. Well, but bipartisanship, he can't even work truly with members of his own party, let alone with Democrats. And as I've said so many times before, the secret to governance in Illinois is 60 and 30. 60 votes in the House, 30 votes in the Senate. And you have to work with the legislature. You have to work with the opposing party to get things done. But this governor has tended to let the legislature and Republicans in the legislature work for him. If you remember, over a year ago, the governor was in talks for a grand bargain with Democrats to try to resolve the fiscal problems and get some of the changes that he wanted that were pro-business. What happened? The grand bargain fell apart. The Senate Republican leader, Christine Redonio, later left. And the legislature on its own ended up enacting a budget, enacting higher taxes over the governor's veto.
Rick, this is a lopsided question, putting money aside, because we know Pritzker has put millions into his own campaign. But who would present Rauner with the biggest challenge based on the issues only, Kennedy, Biss, or Pritzker?
I think any one of them would. Absolutely. I mean, all of them present valid issues. I mean, it has been kind of interesting that with Chris Kennedy, you've seen him going after Joe Berrios and the property tax system. And in some respects, that's kind of a mantle that Bruce Rauner has picked up on the Republican side, calling for lawmakers not to, to have a second job as property tax appeals lawyers like Mike Madigan. Rauner has actually, in this reelect, has picked up some of the things that Chris Kennedy has. With Daniel Biss, you're dealing with someone who is trying to appeal to the more Bernie Sanders wing of the party, a more younger element and younger issues. It would be, I would say, this obviously, I think, would present the greatest economic contrast with wealthy Bruce Rauner in his days as a equity investor, and Biss talking more from the Bernie Sanders side about income inequality. I think that would probably present the greatest contrast. But, you know, Pritzker, even though this is the first time he's run for statewide office, has a long history of being a fundraiser and advisor in Democratic Party circles. So I think it's a pretty even share on who can go after Rauner the most on issues.
What do you guess Pritzker's going to be willing to spend? Have you heard from anybody in his circle that there's a limit?
No, I have not heard that there's any limit. And remember, you know, he's worth $3.4 billion.
Right.
So having spent now close to $50 million, that doesn't really eat into the Hyatt Hotel fortune that he inherited.
Right, but at some point you go, okay, I'm going to spend $100 to $150 million of my own money for this job, this thankless job. Has he really pined for this his entire life? Because, look, if he gets it, he's going to take the same S that everybody else in the governor's chair has. It's not going to be a love fest for J.B. Pritzker. He's going to have to answer questions he hasn't answered yet, like about his property tax issues and his toilets that made his place uninhabitable and all the other questions about his life. And $150 million, you can get a lot less. You can get somebody just to punch you in the mouth. It might be more fun.
Well, I've joked with everybody that it has great wealth. Why would they want to be governor if they truly want to run something? Why just go buy an island somewhere and you can be king of your own island? I'm not literally. Obviously, yeah. I mean, people run in politics. People have great egos in politics. People, in some respects, feel that they have something that they can bring to the table. Obviously, Pritzker, as we now know through the Blagojevich tapes, wanted to be state treasurer at some point because he says that during the economic downturn, he thought he could bring something to the table from his business knowledge. We've learned one thing, that just because you've been successful in business doesn't necessarily transfer into being successful in politics, and that being at the head of the table in a boardroom is not the same as sitting in the governor's chair on the second floor of the state capitol.
Same thing works in Washington that way. Funny how that works.
Right.
I did notice a poll the other day, 35% undecided with Democrats. That's a huge number.
Yeah, and you know, I know the folks that did the poll. I'm not so sure it really necessarily is that huge a number, just because of I think now is when we're in February 2nd. It's Groundhog Day. Now, I think people now really start formally tuning in and formulating their opinions, even despite the fact that, you know, Pritzker, for example, has been up on TV since last May. I think now is when people start to begin and take a hard look at that. I'm not sure if the undecided number is that high. I would probably put it closer to maybe 25%, something like that. But I'm not surprised that there's still some indecision out there because, you know, for example, Chris Kennedy, he's had trouble with fundraising. He hasn't done a lot of TV, but he still has the Kennedy name. Biss has actually, you know, done pretty well with having money in the bank, and he's been running ads. And now we've got Pritzker actually going after Dan Biss, the first negative attacks on a Democrat by Pritzker.
Yeah, and before we let you go, when do Biss and Kennedy start going after Pritzker for being Madigan's guy, or can they not do that? Because if they become governor, they got to work with him.
No, they've done that.
Making that the message.
Right. But they've both done that in debates, so it's not a message that they're going to shy away from. The question is, you know, at what point do you go from truly introducing yourselves to voters to going on the attack? And that's always the fine line of, you know, when is the time to do that, and when is it actually too late that you can't accomplish anything? I mean, you're seeing both Biss and Kennedy are vying to be that one-on-one against Pritzker.
It's Rick Pearson, Sunday Spin. What are you chasing today?
Today, well, we had some of the fallout of the controversy of runner's Republican challenger, Jeannie Ives, inviting as a keynote speaker and then canceling him, a internet pundit who believes that whites are intellectually superior to blacks and that their intellect contributes to poverty and crime in the black community. So she had to cancel that speaker, and our story today kind of points out that there are very much elements on the fringe of the Republican Party that have embraced her candidacy, and she in turn has embraced them as well.
And this memo mess in D.C., it looks like late today if it happens?
Yes, if it happens, I think it probably will. And, you know, here again, very troubling concerns about you've got the President of the United States basically going after the law enforcement community.
Yep, completely.
And comes back and comes down to the question of his belief that they should be loyal to him.
Yep.
And, you
it's
know,
not how it works, kids.
We're in for some strange times, that's for sure.
Yeah, again, civics lesson. The Department of Justice does not work for the president. They answer to the president. And if you're confused by that, get in line. But because the president is. Or he just chooses not to believe it. Anyway, thank you, Rick. We'll hear you Sunday.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Hawk a Riddle, yeah, come on, get your Black Hawk tickets.
I've got tickets for the Hawks in Dallas, Thursday, February 8th. That's a week from yesterday. Going to be entered to win four-season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at fourseasonsheatingandcooling.com. We have some psychics already calling in. They must know the answer to the riddle I haven't read yet. Otherwise, why would they be calling?
It's a good question.
Right now they're calling in.
Yeah, they are. They know. They know.
I will do the riddle here. And yes, we're the only place hip enough to do riddles.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the riddle here. If you can tell me the famous Chicagoan who is the answer to this riddle, you'll win a pair of tickets, qualify for the season tickets next year.
Okay.
Written by John DeCos.
He's brilliant.
Eh. Born in 1933, the first and the only Mrs. Honorable Payee. They renamed the spot where three highways all meet. The Circle Interchange has her name for the street.
Okay, for real, I know this one.
I know this one, too.
Gee, if I don't know this one, I should be fired.
I agree with that.
This is a really good one, though.
Born in 1933, the first and only Mrs. Honorable Payee. They renamed the spot where all three highways meet. The Circle Interchange has her name for the street. First correct answer, 312-981-7200. You will be a big, big winner. All right, so coming up, Hamp, on the Super Bowl. I have literally in front of me, I would say 300 prop bets.
These are the
They're
best.
Awesome.
They're so fun.
These are the bets that you can literally place.
Yeah.
You can spend your money on these, and you can place bets on these.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, what color will Pink's hair be when she begins to sing the national anthem?
That's
I like
a
how
great
it's when
one.
She begins to sing. Like it's going to change color.
Yeah.
During, it's like mood hair.
No. I don't know. With Pink, you're not. Can't be sure.
Mike is in Wildwood. Mike, who was I talking about when I riddled that, Batman?
Former Mayor Jane Byrne.
Ah, you're a big winner.
Yes.
Woo. Congratulations. Woo. Way to be you, Mike. Woo! Mike, repeat after me. Woo!
Woo-hoo!
All right, that's good. Where are you, Mike?
Where am I? Yeah. I'm at work.
What do you do?
I'm a graphic designer.
Are there a lot of people there in the office?
A couple.
Let's hear you woo one more time.
He's excited.
I have tickets for you to see Dallas next Thursday. You're qualified for season tickets next year. Not one, not two, not three, but four. Four tickets. Season tickets. How great would that be?
Totally awesome.
You'd be wooing your way through the whole year.
Woo-hoo!
It's Four Seasons HeatingCooling.com. Mike, hold on, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. 7:31, and you ready to entertain and inform us? Well, I don't entertain. It's not really entertaining.
I'll inform.
More informational.
How about that? I'll put something entertaining in there.
No, that's fine. We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hemp. Dan Hemp anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. See Chevy at the auto show. See Hemp in the Chicago 6 at the auto show. Which, by the way, it's usually a bonus. You usually get the Chicago 7 or 8 or 9, depending on who's there. Sometimes Hemp and the guys.
Nobody's on IR, so it's just the
okay, so it's 6. All right. Okay, fine. But yeah, you guys are going to play.
Don't bring anybody else in.
You're going to play Friday night, right?
Yes, sir. And we look forward to celebrating 7 straight years, Chevy being the number one brand in Chicago.
You're a Chevy guy. I'm a Chevy guy. We'll be at the Chevy display off and on throughout the auto show. And hi to Mike Kilstrom and everybody at Select Marketing, too, for putting all this together. All right, so enjoy the auto show and get to your Chevy dealer and get a free pair of tickets. We'll get to the picks in a bit here. Do the Eagles have a chance in this game?
I'm trying to figure out why everybody's still, paralyzed by the combination of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I know. They've been to a lot of Super Bowls. They won a lot of Super Bowls. But this New England team is it's a different cat. Guys, I'm just saying, the way I look at football games is matchups. Okay, who on New England's roster could start for the Eagles? Well, Brady and Gronkowski. Okay, who else you got? Maybe a wide receiver. I'm just saying their offense and defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles, vastly better. I go back to the Minnesota Viking game. What made that game kind of break open was something that has always worked against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, and that is a vicious pass rush. And early in the Viking game, they hit Keenum and turned him and forced an interception that was returned for a touchdown. And then I think two series later, they strip sacked Keenum and got the ball, and it was set up an easy score. And then boom, that's what Philadelphia is capable of doing. See, New England can't do that. New England's got a lot of pedestrian type players. And think of it, Van Noy, he was rejected, he let go by the Lions. Manti Te'o, we basically, busted in San Diego and let go. And Shea McClellan, people like that. That if you look at their defense, they're just not really that talented. So I'm saying I think this game not only could be closer than anybody thinks, the Eagles, they're playing pretty good football right now. And they're running the ball. And they can run it when they want to, not when you let them. It's a big difference.
The hope would be for a good game. I mean, blowout's never that entertaining. Well, it's not entertaining unless it's your team doing the blowout. See the 85 Bears. But in this case, a good game would be great. And I would say, I don't overestimate this, I would say 104% of the country would like to see the Patriots beaten this weekend. All right, maybe not that much, but the people of Boston don't count. So what do you do? What's your key move if you're the Philadelphia Eagles? Outside of the obvious, shut down Brady. Who's the other go-to on that team you got to stop? It's got to be Gronk, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And see, here's the gray area, and no pun intended, of this concussion legacy. Okay, once a player gets a concussion, the recurring factor is so much higher. Now, I'm not saying that Jim Schwartz is going to say, okay, we want to make sure we go and hit Gronkowski, very physically, if you wink, wink, get my idea. But well, who's to say the first time he catches the ball and takes a couple of, big thumps that he may have to be, taken off the field. So there's I hate to say it, but New England's offense is almost invariably built on a house of cards. It's the combination of them trying to create a mismatch. And a lot of times they're able to. But if they don't, then it falls in the lap of Tom Brady making some spectacular throw. And without Gronkowski, last 2 weeks ago, Amendola really jumped up in the fourth quarter and made some big plays. Well, a lot of those plays were created by Tom Brady being able to look off defenders and create space. When you got a quarterback that's trying to get away from a vicious pass rush, he ain't going to be able to be looking around, you know, doing the eyeball trick for the safeties and the linebackers. He's going to be trying to find a way to get away. And so everything changes. So, again, like I said, New England, I don't want to detract from what they've been able to accomplish. But this is not the same New England team that we've seen in years past. They're just not as talented, and it all falls on the lap of a 40-year-old. Now, you know, I know 40 is the new 30, but what if pressure makes him look like, you know, he's 40 years old? So, again, this is going to be – I think it's going to be a fascinating game, and it's going to be a really close game.
Hey, but take us into the mindset of these players. I mean, they've been off for 2 weeks, and all the hype around the Super Bowl. It's the Friday before the big game. What's going through their mind right now? How ready are they to go?
You're sick of it. You want to play. You know, you're a creature of habit. All year long, except for the bye week, you play every 6 or 7 days, whatever. Well, you know, the first week off, in a way, that's great. And then you start saying, okay, you know, let's do this, and then you put up with the annoying press all week, and then you got all the fact, and again, being in Minnesota is just ludicrous. You know, if you were someplace warm, you'd be able to kind of get out and do here. It's almost like cabin fever. You go from your hotel room to a meeting room to the workout area and then back. And so, like I said, the experience factor of New England will be an advantage, no question about it. They've been there, done that. Philadelphia, on the other hand, you know, I got to tell you, and I don't know if Steve, you remember this, but a year ago, not this past season, but the year before, the Bears went down and got beat in Houston to open the season. Then we come back and we're playing Philadelphia at home on Monday night.
Right.
And I remember OB saying, oh, this is a, you know, must win. We will win this game. It's a must win. We've got to win it, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, okay, we all believe that. Philadelphia had a rookie quarterback starting and a rookie head coach. I was at the game. I watched Philadelphia. They looked like the 49ers with Montana. And I was amazed how well coached they were. Now, that being Doug Peterson. And again, that was the assistant from Kansas City, just like we got Matt Nagy from Kansas City. So these are all good things. But I'm telling you, Doug Peterson he's been I think when this was all said and done, and if the Eagles win, he's going to get an awful lot of credit for a lot of reasons. But he has done an amazing job the last 2 years, especially this year, having an offense that was defying, you know, the NFL with Carson Wentz. And when he gets hurt, now taking Nick Foles off the scrap heap, and Nick Foles getting better and better and better each and every week that he's had to start. So, hey, you know, normally New England's got a hands down coaching advantage. Well, I don't know. Boy, Doug Peterson has done an amazing job this year.
He's good. You know, there are guys, and you can size them up in the locker room in 2 minutes, who can put the hype aside and treat it like any other game, even after the pageantry and majesty of the opening and the extra long halftime that could throw your rhythm off. But there are also guys who get wide-eyed and get a little scared, whatever scared turns out to be, and their play is affected. How big a deal is it that so many guys on the Patriots have done this dance before, as opposed to the Eagles, who are going to be soaking it all in for the first time?
It will be a factor. And you know, where it usually manifests itself is receivers. You know, they got to catch the ball.
Okay, and they're nuts. You know? They're nuts as well. They're like kickers. They're nuts.
Well, they are. And temperamental. And, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, who we saw, you know, his repertoire here in town, how many times did he drop very simple, easy passes and then kind of, you know, have with the hangdog look? I'm just saying, yes, those are the factors that you can't kind of calculate, but you know, you probably, and you know, Jay Ajayi, the running back for the Eagles, real physical. They can, I'm telling you, they can run the ball when they want to, but they can fumble the ball too at the most inopportune time. So fumbling the ball, that's, you know, that's the thing that, you know, I'm sure Doug Peterson is really stressing and trying to emphasize is, hey, guess what? We've played, what, 19 games or whatever it is so far this year, 18? Hey, it's the same kind of deal. Same size field, same size ball. No big deal.
Kind of put it into perspective here for us. You know, with Tom Brady and what he and Belichick have been able to do, you know, going for an unprecedented sixth Super Bowl championship. I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks about comparing Brady to Joe Montana, you know, maybe the best quarterback of all
he's
time.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that played against Montana he's better.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, last year down in Houston, I was on a stage with Emmitt Smith and a bunch of other Hall of Famers, blah, blah, blah. And who's the greatest? At the time, Bradshaw had four wins in the Super Bowl. Montana had four, and Tom Brady had four.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. Oh, well, Bradshaw, he was the greatest, blah, blah, blah. And then I think Emmitt Smith said Montana, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you're both wrong. I said, when Terry Bradshaw, you know, went into the Hall of Fame, well, he knew a dozen other guys are going to be going into the Hall of Fame with him. A lot of guys on his side of the ball. Franco Harris, both receivers, Mike Webster. I mean, just go down there. Anyway, when Montana, you know, and he was great. He beat us twice in the NFC Championship. So, of course, I hate him now. But anyway, the bottom line is he's going in the Hall of Fame with his head coach and I think five other players off that team. I said, who's going to go in the Hall of Fame with Tom Brady? And you could say Gronkowski, but, I mean, he's not constant. He's been hurt. He's missed a lot of time. But who is going in with him? So I just think Tom Brady has been, well, remarkable is not a strong enough adjective. He has been unbelievable in so many ways, but to defy, you know, the aging process on one hand, but on the other hand, to be able to take his team to the eighth Super Bowl with a chance to win his sixth, that's truly,
it's nuts.
I mean,
yeah.
Unprecedented. And yeah, we'll never see this again. And see, remember, back when Bradshaw and all that, that was before free agency, where everybody could raid your team and get the good players. Tom Brady, like, and again, just to circle back, Tom Brady's brought him back to the Super Bowl this year with a team, I don't know, like I said, maybe three of them could start for the opponent in this year's game.
Sure. All right, last question before we get the picks, and I know we're super late here. Garoppolo gets traded to San Francisco. Politics aside, regardless of the reason, Carson Wentz goes down early. It's a mean game for big men running into each other. If Tom Brady gets hurt, and it becomes a battle of Nick Foles versus, and I can't even tell you who
it's Hoyer? Former Bears backup.
If it's Nick Foles,
Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, if it's Nick Foles, Brian Hoyer. I mean, come on. The guys, they got a 40-year-old guy, right?
Well, and again, you know, gosh, nobody wants to even, you know, think that or fathom that.
Oh, come on, you're a defender. Of course you want to think that.
Well, if I'm Philadelphia, I'm thinking, you know, we're going to go out there and tell each other. We're going to hit Brady as much as we can. We're going to hit Gronk as much as we can and see who's still there in the fourth quarter. That's the way I would think.
There you go.
And I know Jim Schwartz is going to think the same way. So, you know, this, like I said, this is not going to be for the faint of heart. They're going to get after it. But let me just say this. I think this is the last hurrah for Belichick and Brady. Who knows? They keep saying they're going to keep playing. But why would Belichick get rid of his next quarterback when he really didn't have to? Think about that. Why would he? Unless he's saying, okay, this is my last go-around. I won't need him in the future. The last time he lost both offense and defensive coordinators after a season was 2004, after they beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And guess what? It was 10 years till he was able to go back and win another Super Bowl. And I don't think he thinks I want to do this 10 more years. So this is going to be a pretty amazing ending, however it happens.
Final score, Andrew.
31-24 Philadelphia.
Wow. I'd like to think it would go differently. I really would.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm wrong. Patriots 31, Eagles 13.
Wow. Blowout. 27-25 Eagles. And again, this is going to be a really good one.
I hope you guys are right.
Reasons. Hey, it's the two number one seeds. And you know, other than the fact Carson Wentz is, you know, out of the equation, this is going to be the two best teams going at it. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, buddy. We look forward to talking about it after it's complete. Hamp is the only guy that actually pees during the commercials because he prefers the football. And we will talk to you about the game after the game. Have a great weekend.
Go Bears. See you.
There you go. Whoop, I clipped him. That's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We'll get to Dean in just a second. Joe Romano has a list of the prop bets. These are the extra bets, the bonus bets, the other things you can put money on for the Super Bowl.
Like what color the Gatorade's going to be.
Yeah, there's hair, Gatorade. there's a surprise that's not in here, though, and I can bring Dean in on this on a Friday. Good morning, Dean. Dean's not with us yet. Oh, I hear rumbling in the background. Here he comes.
There he is.
Here he comes. Here he comes. Look at him there. He's saddling up right now. Someone's still talking to him. Little does he know, we're already on the air. All right, you guys let me know when he's ready. What I was going to mention is, I didn't see it anywhere in the prop bets. I think, and I think this is fairly obvious, Justin Timberlake's doing a halftime show.
Yeah.
Janet Jackson's going to do a walk-on.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Totally.
She's absolutely going to come out.
She should be wrapped up in a parka.
You can't peel that off. Come on.
That's what I mean.
This time he has the wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, yeah.
His pants fall off. But if she doesn't come out, that's the biggest upset of the Sunday.
Yeah, she will be out. And there will be some sort of a Prince, either tribute or remembering Prince somehow. There's going to be a Prince reference.
I'll be honest with you. As a Prince nut, I don't need to hear Justin Timberlake sing a Prince song.
He will, though. I think that...
I love Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. Love him. But and I think he's going to be great. Yeah. I think he's going to put on one of the great halftime shows.
But they're saying his new stuff isn't that good.
I like his new song.
His new
song, Nasty?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Which, look at that reference right there. Justin Timberlake, his new song, Nasty. Janet Jackson.
Nasty.
Oh, Nasty Boy. Nasty Boy.
Could be a segue right there.
Right there. That's your thing. Start with his song and then segue into hers.
Are you organizing this?
Yes.
Tipping us off?
I am.
You got the set list? You've run it?
Got the wardrobe and everything.
Dean Richards back from his L.A., New York, New York, L.A. situation. Good morning.
I don't want to brag. I made a quick stop in Berwyn also.
You know, it's John DeCoste has mentioned.
He's jealous.
John DeCoste has mentioned many times that he no longer flies Southwest because on the way to Kansas City, they stop in Cicero. Just right up and right down. All right, so Super Bowl halftime shows. Favorite of all time is what?
For me, boy. See, I like the ones that were so bad that they wound up being great.
All right, well, we can do it in reverse order. Well, worst one ever?
The Up With People ones are pretty awful.
Yeah, that was the first, what, 7-8 years? Well, longer than that, probably 10 years.
They did the Bears halftime show in Super Bowl 20, I think.
God bless them.
Did they really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were.
God. No.
I'm pretty sure it was.
If you go and
wait, Up With People and Prince?
No, Prince was the Colts one in 2006.
That was
2007.
A couple of years, yeah. That was.
But I'm talking about the one in New Orleans.
Yeah, Prince was 10 years ago, 2007.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one, by the way.
Well, when did the big rock star halftime show start?
Well, if you're talking about New Kids on the Block.
No, I mean, when was the first non-band? You know, because they'd have college.
Marching band?
Marching band / Up With People was always the thing. So when was the first one of those that wasn't one of those? It was actually a recording act.
The first non-marching band was Up With People. Up until then, it was traditional kinds of.
Right. But I'm saying Up With People. I don't consider Up With People rock stars.
You're talking about rock stars.
Yeah.
But let me see here, because I've got the list right here. And
it wasn't the Blues Brothers one with James Brown, was it?
Well, that would be rock star, sure. What year was that?
97, I think.
No, it's way before that.
1988 was Chubby Checker.
Okay.
And the Rockettes.
What was the year before that?
You're going to love this, actually. George Burns and Mickey Rooney.
What?
Yeah.
George Burns, Mickey Rooney, and the Grambling State University USC marching bands.
All right, so I'm going to go with 88 Chubby Checker. And who else?
Chubby Checker was with the Rockettes.
That's your first rock star year.
Yeah.
And how could you turn back from that? Of course, every year after that was a big act.
Right.
You could argue that was the first wardrobe malfunction, too.
And Up With People did do the Super Bowl 20 with the Bears and the Saints.
Oh, sure.
The Bears
3 years
and,
before.
So the first, like, you know, New Kids on the Block are not really rock and roll, but, you know, pop stars, it was New Kids on the Block in 1991. But they performed with Disney characters. They did their song Step by Step and It's a Small World After All.
Oh, God.
And We Are the World.
And they still allowed performances after
Remember
that?
When Prince did that? Remember when Prince did We Are the World and Disney characters?
And then
and
after that, Gloria Estefan was after that.
Well, who was 90 then? Who was between Chubby Checker and...
1990 was Pete Fountain, Doug Kershaw, Irma Thomas, and the Nichols State Marching Band.
Oh.
Holy crap, Steve.
I remember that.
All right, I'm going to go with NSYNC, or not NSYNC.
The New Kids.
The New Kids were your first major Super Bowl.
NKOTB. If you're really cool.
Yeah, Nen Kotbi. I'm going to go with them first. Them first, and every year after that. How about, am I remembering this right? Didn't Britney Spears and Aerosmith end up on the same stage one year?
I think they did. I seem to remember that.
So. Yeah, they did. It was 2001. Aerosmith,
oh, that's
Britney
not annoying
Spears,
at all.
NSYNC, Nelly, and Mary J. Blige. 2001.
Puzzle alarm.
So, we don't know what that was. Was that a
Fossil
TV?
Alarm.
Was that a TV?
Some... I think the fries are done. That means the fries are done.
Who came in and said false alarm? Sound like you're in the newsroom. What the hell's going on over there?
You having a fire drill?
Somebody goofing around.
Okay. Yeah, tell them thanks. All right, I'm going backwards here as well. We're looking at Super Bowl halftime
shows. You guys mentioned Britney Spears. That's when she wore that really cute half-top football jersey shirt and then football pants that were fitted and cute, and I was obsessed with trying to find a pair of football pants for myself.
You know, every time you still tell stories like this, I think it's like you and I were brothers and sisters from different mothers.
Oh. She looks so cute. That was like the I'm a Slave for You era, and mm-hmm. she looked really cute.
Here is the tipping point. I mean, I agree, New Kids on the Block, but even the Gloria Estefan halftime show had Brian Boitano and Dorothy Hamill involved.
Yeah.
I don't know why they always put that...
That must have been.
It was a salute to the 92 Winter Olympics.
Yeah, so here's where everything changed. Super Bowl 27, Michael Jackson. Super Bowl 28, country music. Clint Black, Tiny Tucker, Travis Tritt, and the judge. I almost said something different there. Tony Bennett with Patti LaBelle. Diana Ross after that. James Brown, Boys to Men, Stevie Wonder. These are all different years now. Phil Collins with Christina Aguilera. Aerosmith, Britney Spears, NSYNC, Mary J. Blige, and Nelly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All on one show.
Crazy.
I thought one of the worst halftime shows by far, Coach Q's not listening, is he? Was The Who. I hated that show.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
I don't even remember that.
Well, it was just The Who standing there playing their guitars.
Badly lip syncing also. That's what I remember most from that halftime show. Terrible lip syncing. Some of the lip syncing of some of the early ones is ridiculous.
I think Lady Gaga was one of the best.
Yeah, she was great.
Loved Gaga. Beyonce's done it twice. She's been awesome.
U2 was great.
Both times. U2 did the Super Bowl halftime show in 2002, which was just months after the 9/11 attacks.
Yep.
And they sang with the names of the victims of the World Trade Center attack scrolling behind them that I will never forget.
Yeah, very powerful.
Springsteen did it in 2009. It was amazing. Tom Petty did it.
Tom Petty was good, but Tom Petty and Paul McCartney, you got to like the bands, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Paul McCartney, it's history. Tom Petty, if you like Tom Petty, you loved it. But Tom Petty is not lasers and flying over the crowd. It's just playing the music. Madonna was entertaining. Madonna was good.
I enjoy a Madonna.
I loved Bruno Mars.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Bruno Mars is tremendous.
I would give anything, if anyone has any video, and I doubt they do because I've been looking for this for decades, of the halftime show that featured Carol Channing and Al Hurt.
Yeah.
This was 1972.
Yeah, so that would have been, I think, Colts Cowboys.
Let me see here. Does it say?
Is it?
Super Bowl four, Super Bowl five.
This was six.
Oh, it was six. Oh,
or,
was
that a, or as we like to say, VI. VI.
That was Redskins Dolphins, I want to say.
Yeah, when Gary Apremian threw the pass.
I would have loved to have seen that. Mickey Rooney was part of a halftime show. I would have loved to have seen that.
Do you remember when Katy Perry did the halftime show?
Yeah, with the Sharks or the Dolphins, right?
Yeah, and it took place in her cleavage.
Yes.
Rest of the show. You remember that?
They brought back all the little children that were in Michael Jackson's halftime show.
Yes, exactly.
And they all got into Katy Perry's cleavage.
And all the previous acts who were still alive just poured out of her cleavage.
Yeah, Up With People should come back. They're still around.
What do you mean they should come back?
Why not? It'd be kind of fun. The world needs some Up With People.
We got to talk about your definition of fun.
Well, no, it's all like, you know, teens and stuff. Performing.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with the act, which is why I'm not interested in having them come back.
I don't know. I see what they do now. Be interesting.
You know, you're the last person I would expect to go, we need something positive at halftime.
Well, come on. I don't know. Get rid of the rock stars for once and bring it. Could be kind of fun.
Justin Timberlake's nothing but fun.
Oh, he's great.
I know.
And Pink? Pink's going
to
be awesome.
I want Pink to do the halftime show. I'd rather have her than Justin. Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. That's awesome. The negative. That's the negative Vandeveld I love.
No kidding.
My whole Super Bowl Sunday is ruined now.
Don't you want Up With
All right,
People?
And Dean, I guarantee you Janet Jackson's coming out, and she's gonna steal Timberlake's belt, and his pants are going to fall off, and score will be even.
It would be funny.
All right, a couple of new movies, and Dean's love for Black Panther, maybe, and how's Stan Lee doing in just a second?
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard.
Back to Dean. You know, Thomas Sulo on his Saturday night show has got some good numbers the first couple of weeks, so good for him. But he seems to like to hang out with the old people. Maybe we just lock him in a nursing home or something.
Well, I'll suggest that to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thought. All right, new movies this weekend. What is Bilal, A New Kind of Hero?
Bilal is an animated movie. It's not like a Pixar movie. It's not, you know, fun and laughs. It's not, you know, one of these movies that breaks into songs and has tons of flatulence humor. This one really is more of like a historic epic. It's about the story of a young slave who becomes one of the first followers of the Prophet Muhammad. It's a story out of Islamic culture. And it's very interesting, and it's well animated. It's like a computer animation, very realistic-looking animation. And, you know, talks about truth and honesty and purity of character. So lots of nice, you know, attributes in it. Maybe too serious for its own good. You know, people want to take their kids and, you know, as a babysitter, put them in front of something with a bunch of laughs and so forth. But I liked it. I gave it a Dean's List B.
And let's see. It's Helen Mirren's Winchester.
Winchester. Not screened for the critics, Steve.
Well, that pretty much says it, doesn't
Studio,
it?
Studio so proud of this movie, they did not want to seem like they were bragging.
Basically, what happens in a case like that, Dean goes, when can I see it? And they go, what movie?
That's not...
What movie? What are you
really
talking about?
That is really not an exaggeration at all. They decided they would be better off by not letting the critics see this movie ahead of time. To get the word out. So you're on your... All I know is it's a scary movie and it's rated PG-13 and that Helen Mirren's in it.
And Dean gave it a Dean's List question mark. As in, why would you go to see it? Because they wouldn't let me see it. You know what it's like? It's like the Devin Nunes memo. No one can see it. And will it be released? Only Trump knows for sure.
Exactly.
What about this Black Panther thing?
I've been in New York and L.A. the last couple of days. And
literally the past couple of days. I mean, he goes from one side of the country to the other like a crazy fool.
It's a little bit crazy, but worth it. Got a lot of really great interviews talking to the cast of talked to the cast of a bunch of Netflix shows. Neil Patrick Harris and Drew Barrymore and a long list. But the cool part was the cast of this new Black Panther movie that will open 2 weeks from today. That stars the Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o, Oscar winner Forrest Whitaker is in the movie, Michael B. Jordan is in the movie, and the man who plays the Black Panther himself, his name is Chadwick Boseman, who you might remember from the Jackie Robinson movie, 42. He was great in that. He played James Brown. He played Thurgood Marshall. And this young actor, he's a really good actor, getting all these prime roles. So when I sat down to talk with him yesterday, we talked a little bit about that, and also a problem which superhero actors are faced with, but never before acknowledged, as I did with him.
I just feel blessed, man. That's the best way to put it, you know. I know it's not a normal thing for a person to get to play these roles, so, you know, I relish and cherish each one of them. So it's an amazing path.
But on the lighter side of it all, I always ask actors, you know, who do their first superhero movie. I know you've played this character before, but how much chafing was there in the costume? Was it how, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, chafing?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Uncomfortable? Was it uncomfortable?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Really, really, I can't believe it of that.
To put a number on it.
It probably varied from day to day.
It varies. That's exactly what I was about to say. You get what I'm saying?
So, Steve, you know that I'm interested in, you know, nobody else asked the chafing question.
Well, it's the DCI. It's the Dean Chafing Index.
That's right.
It for every movie.
Every actor, when they do their first superhero movie, will tell me how uncomfortable the costume is, and chafing always comes up.
There's no question about it. You should see the powder budget. Unbelievable.
It's through the roof on this. Not only for him, Michael B. Jordan, who also I put the chafing question to, and we'll, you know, I don't want to give everything away today.
No.
We'll lead
up. But you like the movie.
I like the movie very much. Not a review, but I liked it very much. It's a really good superhero movie. But the real star of the movie is its message.
Wow, look at you.
Real star of the movie is its message.
All right, we'll hang... Well,
it's not
a
review, though.
We'll hang our hats on that because we don't have a hook.
Are you wearing a hat?
No, and I don't have a hook. Stan Lee going to be okay?
Stan Lee was rushed to the hospital Wednesday with an irregular heartbeat. He's 95 years old, so, you know, everybody was pretty concerned about the whole thing. But he was released from the hospital yesterday and is doing well, and says that he is feeling great.
And you'll be on Sunday.
I will be on Sunday with the full Chadwick Boseman interview, by the way. We talk about the making of this movie, its social significance. You'll understand better what I'm saying about the star of this movie is its message when you hear this interview with the star of Black Panther. That'll be Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We've got a lot of pre-Super Bowl stuff on Sunday as well, some of which I'll actually understand.
Did you know, and I'll leave you with this, but you can back this up because he's a mutual friend of ours, the original choice for Black Panther was Dave Schwann.
I do
from,
know.
From WGN News.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Schwanny in his other life is a crime fighter. Yeah.
That I believe.
Yeah. That's how he was chosen, because I can't even tell you the number of times he's been stopped in downtown Chicago in the middle of the night wearing next to nothing, saying I'm a super saying I'm a superhero. Happens all the time.
You know,
he
lives in my neighborhood. I don't know if I should be worried or not.
You should.
Huh.
You should. If you want me to list your house.
Oh, I know the perfect person, Dean, to do it.
Yep, happy to.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
See you, bud.
It is 8:34. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Still to come on this program, an attempt to try to explain what's coming down with this memo released later today, and why it is such just a horrific mess, and nothing but covering up for Trump. We'll get to that. But first, let's get to the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I could never pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend that I'm your man. That's exactly the way that I want it. It's exactly the way that I am. And you call me in the morning with...
This is my favorite band, Trampled by Turtles. Did I get that right? Trampled by Turtles?
Yeah, that's right.
Wouldn't it be cool if Trampled by Turtles covered Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road?
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
No way, man.
Welcome back. And, man, if you want to see Hollywood, don't go anywhere. Just stick around. Stick around town.
Yeah.
In Andrea's case, look out your window.
Exactly, right? They're always filming in South Loop.
Joining us in studio now to talk about just a banner year, a huge year for filming in Chicago, which, frankly, is great for us, is the boss. Identify yourself, sir. Now, let me get your mic on first.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I'm Rich Moskal, and I head up the City of Chicago Film Office.
It's not really a job.
Oh.
No, it's not really a
job. Oh, it's a dream
no,
job.
It's a good job.
No, it's just people bringing you shrimp and caviar all day and going, and you get the clapper occasionally where you can del cut. No, it's got to be a serious
Well, it's a serious job. No, seriously, because it is about working with Hollywood, and it's about working with producers and directors, but ultimately it's about economic development, and it's about job creation.
Right, and I remember a time where we made it economically non-favorable to a point where Hollywood wasn't even thinking about us for a few years. So how'd they turn the corner?
Well, it's been a competitive business for decades.
Yeah, but they went to Toronto. If it was shot in Chicago, well, everybody went to Toronto. Yeah. How do we get them back is my question.
So a number of things happened. Most specifically, Illinois, the state of Illinois, put in place a tax incentive, much like other states and other countries have been doing for years. But prior to the whole tax incentive thing, Chicago was riding high. We had filmmakers like John Hughes and Andy Davis and other people that were putting Chicago very much on Hollywood's radar. It all started with the Blues Brothers shot here back in the late 70s. But when things got cheaper in other places, specifically Canada, we started losing that business. And of course, the straw that broke the camel's back was the movie Chicago, which was shot entirely in Toronto.
Yeah, how about that?
That caught the attention of legislators, and people started recognizing that not only we're losing business, but we're losing prestige, and we're losing jobs, and we're losing a lot of money. And the state of Illinois put in place a tax incentive that made us more affordable. But the combined elements of what Chicago can offer in terms of affordability plus production values, I mean, Chicago looks great on screen.
It does.
It just
beautiful.
Looks fantastic. But it also boasts a healthy amount of cooperation from the City of Chicago, which is where our office comes into play.
And the studio facility on the southwest side.
CineSpace Studios.
CineSpace has been crucial to this.
It was a total game changer. But the mayor recognizes the value of the industry and sees it truly as an industry, something that provides jobs and builds businesses here and provides a great deal of needed.
You think it helps that his brother is on the phone with him going, hey!
Yeah. Well, it helps that he understands what the business is about, you know. And
Rahm Emanuel's brother, Ari Emanuel, is the biggest agent in Hollywood.
So there's something about knowing how the industry works, which means we're better positioned to accommodate it.
There you go.
Not only that, the Chicago in and of itself is a true production center, not just because of facilities, but the talent that's here.
Yeah.
Actors, crew people, vendors, facilities.
Okay,
all
the way you sell this, it's almost like you like it. what were you going to say?
I remember when you remember there'd be one movie a year or every other year. It would be The Bounty Hunter, or you'd say, oh, yeah, there's Marina Towers. This is the background. Now, how many TV shows around do we have filming here, and how many movies? Because it's usually weekly I see them out.
Sure. Well, last year we had 8 full season series that were shooting here. And back in the day when things were first getting started, we were lucky if we had one. The television series Early Edition was sort of a 3-season hit for a while that was in Chicago. Now we've got the Dick Wolf franchise of Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago
What have we done for Dick Wolf? We got to get Dick Wolf a key to the city or something.
Yeah, we should put a little plaque out for
you know,
him.
Next time the mayor's in here, remind me to bring that up.
And his endorsement of Chicago, frankly, his ability to say this is a place that I can make not one TV series but 3, sent the message to other producers and other networks and other executives that Chicago could really handle the business.
I've been pitching this idea for a while. Chicago parking. It's just a guy driving around all the time, driving around, finally gets a spot, and everybody else is jealous and crimes are committed.
Right, and then when it snows, you put the folding chairs in the spot to save the spot.
Oh, that could be a subplot.
That would be cool.
Certainly see the drama.
That would be cool. The office, though, is great about, we were talking off the air, about letting people know ahead of time, all right, these streets are going to be closed for this reason and whatnot, or there's going to be a helicopter shoot. So I think most people, aside from those maybe who have to go 5 minutes out of their way, think it's really cool to see a movie being filmed here.
I would agree with you. And I also recognize the fact that it's a bit of a disruption by the nature of the fact that the industry is living and working in all the same places that everybody else is living.
Yeah, not everybody's going to love it.
And every time you see something that's in your way, you know, it changes your mind about things. But the benefits that come with that, and if people get notice, and if everybody understands why we're attracting the business, but also getting that word out in advance, I think really does make it easier for people to accommodate.
Somebody's run the numbers on this.
Yep.
This is a profit margin thing, yes?
For sure. In fact, we've seen steady increases in economic development for this past 5 years. Last year, the state of Illinois reported $420 million in terms of local spending, and that's good. Job creation and goods and services from local businesses. The previous year, it was $480 million, but in the past 5 years, it's been over $2.2 billion in terms of economic
That's development. Why we cooperate. Yeah.
And that's the reason why it's so good for the city.
Yeah.
What's the scouting process, too? I mean, does someone come to you and say, hey, you know what, my business would make a great storefront, or my street is
You must get pitched all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And producers are always looking for fresh locations and interesting locations. Obviously, it's a visual medium, so they want to see something cool up on the screen. I started out in this business as a location scout, so it was a fun
kid. Kidding.
Oh, yeah, cool.
You're the perfect guy for the job.
It was a great way to understand how the business works. But having that script and using your own resources to try to find, hey, I need a good-looking warehouse, or I need a good-looking penthouse, or I need a good-looking alley, all of those things are part of the process of first finding the possibilities. Then, of course, the director and the producer and the production designer all chime in to...
Well, a cool thing I think about Chicago PD, Med, and Fire is it's not cliched. They get the beauty of the city without going to a deep dish pizza joint every other scene and do all the stuff that all the lazy newscasts do,
right.
You know, on the national TV stuff when they come in for something.
No, they're shooting in every corner of the city.
Yep.
And not to say that they don't want to identify as Chicago, and clearly there's always interest in trying to make sure they get the skyline in the shot, or the L in the shot, or Lower Wacker, or the lakefront in the shot. But now you have television series that are shooting in neighborhoods that are far less iconic to Chicago and far more about neighborhood. A television series called Easy, which airs on Netflix, was made by a Chicagoan, Joe Swanberg. It's all shot primarily in the Lincoln Square neighborhood because that's the neighborhood that Joe grew up in and wants to work there.
Yeah, and I'm the love interest in that.
Yeah, no, right. I told Rich.
I didn't want to announce it.
I told Rich, I said, what is filming off of 18th Street? Because every time I pass by, well, I should have known it's Chicago Fire because there's always a burning building, but it's the same building on fire. There's no sense of urgency.
Audrey keeps causing the newsroom. There's a fire!
Yeah, there's a fire, wait. Oh, no, it's the same building.
Again.
Day after day after day.
All right, before,
a charred out building.
I will say this, that when it comes to shows like Chicago Fire, it becomes almost routine that every episode they're doing something, they're blowing something up, they're setting something on fire.
Yeah, I would say Chicago Fire ought to have a fire. There should be a fire pretty much every episode.
We have gotten in a little bit in the habit of letting the news media know that, hey, you know what, this isn't the real thing, so don't be surprised if you see a plane on Stony Island.
We're out of time. We're out of time. We got to roll. We're out of time. How big a year is this year going to be?
This coming year?
Yes.
I would expect that it would be equal to or exceed the past year, and last year was $420 million.
All right, last word, Andrea.
That's perfect. Keep filming here. I love it. I love watching movies.
You get the rare sitting ovation from the show.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
No, thank you for being here.
Good to
we appreciate
this industry.
It. Well, yeah, you should be proud of it because you guys are doing great work.
Thank you.
Showing off Chicago.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Back at the Allstate Showcase Studio, 8:55 now, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 1081. We'll get to these prop bets, I promise. I've been talking about it all morning, but we'll do it before the show is complete. The president's Twitter feed had a couple of hits earlier this morning. Let's look at it together live now to see if there's any updates. This is the day we fully expect that the infamous memo, will be released. It's a confusing story, but it's an important story. About 3 hours ago, Trump tweets the top leadership and investigators of the FBI and the Justice Department. The top leadership of the FBI and the Justice Department have politicized the sacred investigative process in favor of Democrats and against Republicans, something that would have been unthinkable just a short time ago. Rank and file are great people. The top leadership is Rod Rosenstein and Christopher Wray. Rosenstein and Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray is a Trump appointee.
Mm-hmm.
Rod Rosenstein was also handpicked and approved by Trump and Jeff Sessions. So his own people are after him? This is all a part of muddying the water. Here's the next tweet. You had Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party try to hide the fact they gave money to GPS Fusion to create a dossier which was used by their allies in the Obama administration to convince a court, misleadingly by all accounts, to spy on the Trump team. Absolute nonsense. Here's why. And let's try to run through this as quickly as possible. George Papadopoulos, not the DNC, is why this whole thing got started. The whole interest in Russia and all of our intelligence apparatus has proven again and again and again that Russia absolutely muddled in our investigation. Don't you want to know if they're going to do it again? Take Trump out of the equation. Do you want them involved? Of course you don't. The dossier has not been disproven. Every time you hear the dossier has been disproven, it's a lie. It has not been disproven. And now it was Oppo Research. You got to remember that. It was Oppo Research, which is what the Democrats paid for, the same way the Republicans paid for it initially, because they knew it was on Trump. And it was an RNC mole who went to one of Trump's opponents in the primary season who originally paid for it. Now, if it was vital, why didn't Clinton use it? If that dossier was so deadly and so vital, why didn't she use it during the campaign? And if Comey was in the tank for Clinton, then why days before the election did he reopen the investigation and bring up all the other stuff that was found? I mean, if you go backward on this and just take those two tweets that I just mentioned, if the memo gets released today and it's used to indicate that the FBI got the FISA court, a warrant from the FISA court to spy on Trump and his people, you got to consider this. The Chief Justice picks the three judges that are on the FISA court. So that means John Roberts has got to be in on it, because he must have picked three judges that he knew that would be willing to go in the tank for Trump. The FBI would also have to be able to BS these three esteemed judges if they weren't in on it. So Supreme Court and judges must be out to get Trump. Christopher Wray has said he does not want the memo released. Well, he's got to be in on it. Rod Rosenstein previously said there's no reason to fire Bob Mueller and don't release the memo. He's backed up Christopher Wray. Wray and Rosenstein both went to John Kelly the other day at the White House and said don't release the memo because of our security concerns. So they've all got to be in on it. So if you believe all of that, then you have to believe that there's the entire government apparatus out to get poor Donald Trump.
It's also worth inserting here that, remember, one of the reasons why Donald Trump said he fired James Comey was because Comey was unfair to Hillary Clinton.
Comey absolutely shifted this election. And I could give a rat's butt that Hillary Clinton didn't get elected. My concern is this president a crook? And everybody should want to know that. So I say at this point, release the memo. Let everybody respond. The talking about it all the time makes it more dangerous. Release the memo, let all the chips fall where they may, and if Rod Rosenstein ends up resigning, if Christopher Wray leaves the FBI, then you've got all the things that are falling like dominoes the same way they did for Richard Nixon. Trump wants to discredit Bob Mueller and not be questioned. So when this memo comes out, can't you see his lawyer saying, why would we talk to Bob Mueller? The whole investigation is a sham. This is absolutely where it's going. He's never cooperated. He's consistently got in the way. He fired the FBI director who was in charge of the investigation previously, and he caused Bob Mueller to be involved. Who sounds like they're up to something? The FBI or Donald Trump? Don't you want to know if your president's a crook? I mean, that seems like that matters. That's all we're talking about.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And then we sing. Havana, oh, na, na. We roll into the final hour of the show. My heart is in Havana, oh, na, na. A little shimmy, a little shake. He took me back to East Atlanta, na, na, na. But my heart is in Havana. There's something about Havana. And rolling a little tempo, a little here. That's Desi and Lucy Arnaz. No, who's singing this?
Camila Cabello.
Ah, Camila Cabello. Ay, iba, iba, andere, andere, epa, epa, iha. Hey, there's a cool story that came out this week that we wanted to chase down. And Sandberg's got her best investigative team on it, the S team.
Yes.
and we got a couple of folks involved. And this was a simple act of kindness that blew up into a viral sensation. And that man is John LeRoy. We're going to talk to John and his brother Mark in just a second. But picture, if you will, it's a grocery store, and there in a parking lot is a woman who's pregnant. Might I say quite pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to, you know, get her stuff to the car. In the car, she's struggling a little bit. John's not just getting carts out of the parking lot. He runs over to help her, make sure she's okay. So she started a GoFundMe page just in honor of him and kind of got part of this whole ball rolling here. So let me talk to Tara first. Good morning, Tara.
Hi.
Thanks for being on. How pregnant?
Well, I think I was about 7 months pregnant. And, yeah, I was walking to my car. And, you know, usually when you check out at the grocery store, they always ask you at Jewel, do you need help to your car? And everybody says no. And so I was just walking to my car. I was fine. And I hear somebody yelling from the other side of the parking lot. He's screaming, ma'am, ma'am. And I'm like, did I forget something? What's happening?
Right, right.
And I turn and he's running towards me. And he said, let me help you with that. And he takes it to my car and he says, go sit down. I got this. I'll take your car to wait for you. And that was just. Yeah, that was just my first run-in with John Leroy. There's been so many since then. So many times he's helped me. And, yeah, and then I saw...
Well, that's how you become the legend of Homer Glenn.
Well, he has. He's helped everybody so many times. And that's what makes him special. It's not that he does it once in a while. Like, everybody helps people once in a while. But John Leroy helps people every single day. He goes above and beyond every day with every person he meets. That's just who he is. Like he's just got this extra big heart.
He's coming on in a second. He's listening. Do you have a message for him right now?
Well, just the whole Homer Glenn community just loves you, John. You're just the greatest worker that anybody's met. You've got the biggest heart, and you've just touched everybody so much in this town that... That's why this whole thing went viral, because he's just that amazing.
And so
it's a working man in Homer Glenn, for sure.
We learned about this from a Tribune story about the legend of Homer Glenn. Who wrote it?
Donna Vickery wrote this story. Wonderful article.
And Tara, what did we have, a boy or a girl?
A boy. Yep, Axel.
Oh,
yep,
good name.
He's a year and a half now.
So. And is that your first, or you got a whole gaggle?
No, I got three boys.
Three boys. God bless the work you're doing. All right. Now, hold on for a second, because I want to come back to you on your GoFundMe page in just a second. Let's meet Brother Mark. Brother Mark is right here. Mark Leroy. Good morning, Mark.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Thanks for being on. We also want to thank John Fleming. John is another fine Homer Glenn citizen. John's a guy that took the picture that kind of got this all going, didn't he?
Absolutely. He was an amazing, simple act that turned into a viral situation, as you mentioned.
Tell me about your brother. Why is he so loved?
Well, I'll tell you what. He really does have a nature about him. He's taken care of my stepmother for 12 years before she passed away. He takes care of my father, who's 88. He does the cooking, the cleaning, the housekeeping when he's not at work. And he's just an unbelievable person. And I take my hat off to my parents who did a great job in raising him.
And it sounds like he's got no problem with a work ethic. Has he always outworked you?
All the time. he says part of this was he wanted to go on vacation. But the reality is 2 days into a vacation, he's thinking about the lot, the carts, and how much they must miss him there.
Well, and
true.
No doubt that that's true. Let's get the rock star in here, the legend from Homer Glenn. Good morning, John.
How you doing?
I hope you're enjoying all these people talking about what a good guy you are.
Yeah, I'm very happy for myself.
Well, you know, why wouldn't you be? Tell me about your job. How often do you work?
I work every other day at the store. I push carts. I do cleanups. I do whatever the boss wants me to do.
And do you enjoy the interaction with everybody? Sounds like you just love people.
I just love people. I love to be kind and helpful to people as much as I can.
Now, now that you're a celebrity, is that going to change things?
No, I'm still going to be the same person that they've known me all these years.
Yeah, and does everybody know you by name? I assume. How long have you worked there?
I've worked there 28 years.
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome.
Well, that's fantastic. And if you're ever sick or something, you miss going to work?
I would miss it if I'm not there.
Well, there you go. You know, Mark, that's got to make you just proud as heck, huh?
Unbelievable. I mean, my brother's really an example of, I always, as I said in the article, if I knew a saint on earth, it's him.
Yeah, no kidding. He walks amongst us. John, you're a good guy. Any specials at Jewel we should pay attention to today?
No, I'll just keep doing my good job like I always am.
Well, you're a good man, John, and we're proud to have you on the program. Andrea?
John, I know you're a White Sox fan, but I know you're a big Blackhawks fan, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, big Hawks fan, right?
Yes, I am.
Oh. And he wears his Blackhawks jacket, too, every now and again.
Well, yes, I do. I wear it all the time.
As you know, we're the Blackhawks station, so we're going to have to make sure we get your address from Mark here.
All right.
I know Coach Q wished you a happy birthday at one point. When is your birthday, by the way?
My birthday is August 18th. I was born in 1962. I was born in Blue Island.
Well, you're younger than I am, John. Not by much, buddy. Listen, Mark, John, I say the Leroy family is pretty special. If you guys would hold the line one more time, I want to jump back here to Tara. And can I hit Tara without hanging up on everybody? What do we know about our classic phone system here? Can I do this? No. Can I hit it? Yeah, I'm good. No? Okay. We've got to cut the green wire or the red wire to make sure we can go to three phone calls. Let me go to Tara. Hey, Tara, how are you?
I'm good.
Just talking to him for 30 seconds. I mean, I can see why you love him. All right, so tell me about this GoFundMe page. Is it still up?
It is. It's up. We've raised over $6,300 now in just 9 days. And we have thousands of comments and shares. And it's just, and people are still donating. You know, they hear his story and, you know, everybody just wants to give to John Leroy and do something special for him to show appreciation because he's done so much for us as a community.
I've got a big brother myself who reminds me so much of John, and he works his tail off. And it's very similar stories, and I just couldn't be more proud of him. And it's the same deal. Everybody's happy to see him. We call him the mayor of Ithaca, New York, which is the small town we grew up in, because he just makes people happy whenever he sees him. And he always volunteers to help, and he always wants people to be. You know, it sounds like John's the same way. Just get up in the morning, and you just want to be happy.
Yes, and it's funny because some people have commented, John for mayor.
Yeah, why not, right?
That'd be awesome.
The comments, yeah.
All right, so we go to GoFundMe.com. What do we search?
If you go to GoFundMe.com/John Leroy.
John Leroy, easy enough. Laroy. Yeah. Tara, I know you don't have time to fool around with me with these three kids you got to watch, but I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
And thank you, John, and thank you, Mark. I got to go back to John here for just a second. Hey, John, what are you going to do today?
I'm just sitting around relaxing and just keeping myself busy, taking care of my dad like I am.
All right, and you work again tomorrow?
Yes, I work tomorrow again.
Homer Glen is nowhere near me, but I'm tempted to get in a car and go see John.
It's the best. I grew up around that area, so hopefully I'll see you out there sometime, John.
I just want to shake your hand, so we may come out there and do that, John.
All right, no problem.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Awesome.
You know, he's got the paparazzi chasing him.
I know.
He's got issues. He can't be talking to everybody.
Yeah, we're not a big deal.
He's going to be like, here comes Cochran again.
No, you know what's cool? He treats me just like he would treat Andy Mazur. And I think that's special.
Yeah, because I get treated very differently.
I love that guy.
He's awesome.
That guy
he's
makes
awesome.
My day.
So cool.
Mark Leroy, good brother, too. How about that? And Tara, thank you. And thank you, Mr. Fleming. The Steve Cochran Show continues next as we finally talk about prop bets in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This is Rokon's ringtone.
I thought you wrote this.
I did, but then, you know, Ro said this is more for me. He said you don't have the hair for it. 708, I work at Pure Salon right next door. That's a texter. I work at Pure Salon right next door and the next door to the Jewel where John works. John always looks after all the ladies that work there. He's a very sweet guy, and he cares for everybody. 847. 847 wants me to give John all the Blackhawk stuff I have. Well, it's fine.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of stuff.
Fine by me.
Yeah.
It's fine by me. The Blackhawks have taken pretty good care of John, but we have something up our sleeve, too.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but what a good guy. That's, I mean, I hope that made everybody's day. It sure made mine. Let me go live now to Minneapolis, where producer of the program, Joe. What, you have a stage name, or you go with your regular name?
Yeah, it's Verde.
Joe Verde.
Doesn't Verde mean green?
Joe Verde.
Yeah, never looked it up. I just...
You just like it.
Yep.
You just like it. Joe is in Minneapolis with the prop bets. Now, the prop bets, there's like 200 pages of these. But you can literally... Now, Joe, do you use your own bookie for these, or do you just go wild card bookie?
Yeah, I know a guy, but I try to separate it a little bit. You know, I can't owe too much money around town.
Sure,
so.
But you got a guy.
Yeah.
All right. So the prop bets are additional bets, not traditional bets, that you could make on the big game. And it's not just for the Super Bowl. It comes up for other big events. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you a chance to tell us about a few of these. What do you got first?
Well, let's see. I got, you know, which team will, if the team that chooses the coin toss, will they get it right?
Okay, the team that chooses heads or tails, mm-hmm. will they get it right? Well, mm-hmm. wouldn't that be 50-50?
50-50. That's why I like it. And it's also, it's early in the game.
Right.
So you put all your money on it, and then you know right away whether you won
right,
or lost.
So you're either out immediately or you got
you don't have
stash.
To wait until overtime or whatever, like last
great
year.
Philosophy.
You just you lose right away, and then,
That's how you can't argue with that.
No.
All right, what's next?
Let's see. I also like, how long will the national anthem be?
This is always a good one.
This is Pink.
Yep,
Pink. This is Pink.
Yeah.
Now, we believe Pink will be green.
No, I think platinum. But you and Andy
like
think
Andy's
green.
Idea. Andy brought
green.
This up earlier.
Because green she's, hair. Why? Because...
She's an Eagles fan.
Yeah. Eagles fan, yeah.
Big Eagles fan.
Or red, white, and blue.
No, I think she's going to go Eagles.
I'm going platinum.
Yeah. How long will it take Pink to sing the national anthem? What's her choice here?
So, this is either over or under 2 minutes.
Over.
So,
over.
So, for those of you who aren't familiar...
Meaning she'd stylize it.
Yeah.
If it's
over
2 minutes.
For those of you who aren't familiar with Pink's catalog, she does not have any songs under 2 minutes, so this is a clear over.
Yeah. Ah, look at you. Oh, look at you researching.
You're doing the background.
You got more Pink?
Yeah, will she go airborne at any point during the performance?
You know what? I was wondering.
She does like to fly.
And they're inside. No, because it's the national anthem, unless she starts at the top and comes down.
Yeah, she likes to fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. What's the odds here?
Let's see. For the odds on that one, yes, plus 150, no, minus 200.
Well, explain what that means to people.
You know, that's a favorite situation. You know, you want to...
You go with a higher number if you want to bet the house money.
Right, right.
Yeah,
you want more money back than you'd want to you know, bet.
Right? Will Pink wear an Eagles shirt or a hat? Well, we go green here. All right, what's the next one? Oh, is there a Gisele Bündchen bet in here?
Yeah, we got a Gisele one. How many times will Gisele be mentioned during the broadcast? Mentioned. Not will it be not how many times will she be shown, but how many times will she be mentioned?
Well, there's no reason to mention her unless you show her.
I'm saying 10, because I think the Pats are going to win.
Huh.
And this one is over or under 1.5. So if you're saying 10, it's way over.
Yeah,
huh?
It's way over.
Well, it's at least a couple.
Win some good money.
Don't you think?
Well, yeah, because they'll tell the
I
story.
I think that one's also an easy
They'll tell the story over. About how she tried to get him to retire.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's at least
one in general.
Yeah, that's at least one.
Yeah.
By the way, Gisele Bündchen, overrated?
I think so.
Under.
Underrated?
Really?
Over or under?
Come
yeah.
on.
I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under.
No, I've never quite gotten it.
I don't get it either.
Any Justin Timberlake bets?
Yes. Will he cover a Prince song?
I think yes.
Prince died last year. He put on one of the great halftime shows of all time.
And they're in Minnesota?
Yep. And they're
definitely.
In Minnesota. Yeah, he's got it right.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I would think so.
What's that? Is the heavy money yes?
The heavy money is, let's see.
Justin Timberlake?
That's minus 140.
So that's a yes. That's where all the money's gone.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what's Philadelphia known for?
Philly cheesesteak sandwiches.
What else?
Liberty Bell.
What else?
Democratic National Convention.
Were you going to say Rocky statue?
Rocky statue.
Yeah, she got a Rocky statue bet?
I do not.
Yes, you do. Because I have one in front of me.
I thought you said a bed. No.
Rocky
yeah, I got a bet for it. Yeah,
give me the bet.
How many times will the Rocky statue be shown during the broadcast? Over one or under one? So will it be shown or won't it?
I think it's just one in the intro.
One and done.
Yeah, one. Yeah.
Now, this is during the broadcast, not the pregame where they got to fill for 9 hours. This is during the broadcast of the game. I say one time.
I agree.
The only thing that could put that over is if there's a bunch of fans in Philadelphia watching the game near the statue that they may go.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
So that's
a good
point. That's about the only time.
Yeah.
I also think they have to win to show it.
Yeah.
So if it's more than one,
because
I think they'll show it in the beginning.
Yeah.
They'll probably do something where, who's got the game, NBC?
NBC.
NBC.
Yeah, they'll do something where, you know, Chris and Al run up the steps together something like that.
And that actually makes me nervous about some of these, because Al Michaels is one of those guys who likes to reference these, likes to, you know, talk about the spread,
this
talk about whatever.
This game is almost over.
Yeah.
He's got a gambling problem. No, allegedly. All right, you got a Gatorade bet?
What color will the Gatorade... that'll get poured on the coach. What color will it be? We got lemon lime, orange, red, clear, blue, or purple.
I'm saying lemon lime.
Well, see, they wouldn't pour lemon lime on Bill Belichick because it's kind of an Eagles color.
Oh, so it's going orange.
Go red.
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 Red Patriots, lemon lime Eagles. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not pour lemon lime on a coach because why waste the best Gatorade?
Like
so it's got to be orange because nobody likes orange.
Yeah, nobody likes orange.
No, I like orange.
Really?
Oh,
I like the orange, too.
Mm-hmm. I like orange,
like
red. I like purple.
The icy blue.
I like the purple.
I like the blue.
Yeah.
I don't like the clear.
No, because it's lemonade.
Don't trust it.
All right. What's the Nipplegate one you were going to tell me?
Will Nipplegate be said during the broadcast? That's yes, plus 500, and a no, minus 900. And that kind of goes back to the thing I was saying with Al Michaels. I mean, I just do not see him saying close to that.
No, I don't think. I mean,
saying no.
No, I'm going to go.
I agree. No.
Will Al Michaels refer to the spread? The money's actually on no, but give me the last one.
The last one.
The temperature one.
I have here. How many times will the temperature outside the stadium be mentioned during the game?
During the game. Now, during the day, I believe over 100,000 times in the lead up to the game. During the game itself, 4 times, once per quarter in some form.
Yeah, they're in a dome. There's no point in bringing it up.
What's the over?
No, because it'll be this type of thing, Andy. You're in booths all your entire life. Thank goodness we're in here it's outside. Look at what's going on outside. And we'll be back. That kind of thing.
Yep.
I'd say 10. I agree. There's going to be more, I think.
The over is where the money's going. What's the line? The line is 1?
Yeah, it's just
over under 1. Oh, it's got to be over.
Way over.
Yeah, I think the high on Sunday is 5, and the wind chill is supposed to be 25 or 30 below, or as I like to call it, a nice day in Minneapolis in February.
Right.
So, all right, Joe, thanks for that.
Yes, indeed.
Spring me the telephone, huh?
Sure, Mr. Bill.
Hello? A party? Tonight? Oh, yay! Oh, great! I'd love to come.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The difference is my voice isn't that deep.
And Mr. Bill gets squished. That's the other difference.
Doesn't that get sad when that happens to him? You guys get a little sad. I do.
I was.
We'll talk to Bill F. in just a second. What's coming up tonight?
Tonight on The Download with Justin Kaufman, your girl, Mavis Staples, joins Justin on The Download. It's tonight at 7 o'clock.
I was Pop Staples' stuntman for years.
Yeah. Nice. She asks about you all the time.
She's the best. There's nobody better than Mavis.
She's got those business supply stores all over town.
Different Mavis.
What?
Different Mavis.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, different Mavis.
No?
I was once on stage with Mavis, Prince, and me. Now, there were 47 other people on stage, but I was one of them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And they both talked to you? They knew? They were like, hey, Steve?
We did a couple songs.
Did you really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's back in the Minneapolis days.
Oh, that's
speaking
cool.
of a Minneapolis weekend, who are you picking for the Super Bowl?
Either the Patriots or the Eagles.
Well, that's a good choice.
I've narrowed it down to the Patriots and the Eagles.
I said, as much as I hope this doesn't come true, because I'd like to see it go the other way, Patriots in a blowout, 31-13.
Wouldn't that be something?
Mm-hmm. Not
Tom Brady has it in him, certainly.
Who you got?
I think it will be the Patriots. Is it? It's 4.5, is it?
Yep, yeah, 4.5.
I believe the Patriots would be your bet.
But don't you hope we're wrong? I mean, not that I wish for good things to happen to Philadelphia,
right?
You know, they're not that nice.
Right.
Yeah.
I have friends in Philadelphia. The people of Philadelphia, you know, I'd be happy for the people of Philadelphia. They've never gotten one.
Don't you just, I just want it to be an entertaining game. Like last year, it didn't seem like it was going to be an entertaining game. And then all of a sudden it became a very entertaining game.
It was almost desperate.
Yeah.
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 I didn't enjoy last year so much. I felt bad for the Falcons. Or as Harry Tynitz would call them, the Falcons.
The Falcons.
Is that what he calls them?
Yeah, he has an odd inability to pronounce F.
Well, the Vikings and the Falcons were going to merge, and then they decided not to. So maybe he's playing off the belief that they have joined forces.
See, I didn't think about that.
Maybe.
All right, so let's get behind the life of Bill F.
What would you like to know?
What are you doing this weekend?
Well, I will certainly...
What are your plans this weekend?
You know,
let's start with wake up tomorrow. What time will you get up on a Saturday?
Oh, I'll roll out of bed around 10.
10?
Yeah.
So what time are you going to bed tonight?
See, 1. You know, without cartoons on Saturday mornings, there's no reason to get up early anymore.
Cartoons suck now.
Steve, they used to be so good.
Back when we grew up.
Dennis the Menace.
No. Your cartoons suck. Your 80s cartoons is where this started.
Oh,
right.
Come on. We had the Wonder Twins and everything.
Love the Super Friends.
Justice League.
Captain Caveman was
the
good.
Cartoon golden era.
Come on.
Speed Buggy.
It was 1979.
With what? Speed Racer?
Bugs Bunny, the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show. Yeah, the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show was your classic go-to.
That was the first cartoon on CBS on a Saturday morning was that, the Looney Tunes and Bugs Bunny.
We had He-Man.
No, that wasn't good. Mm-hmm. That was not good, Andrew. You
Dennis
know it wasn't
Menace?
Good.
Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm.
No.
Scooby-Doo.
Oh, wait, I got one for you.
Which one?
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry's good.
That, well, but that wasn't yours. That was around forever. Tom and Jerry goes back to what, the 40s?
50s, I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure 50s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Black and white.
All right, so you're up at 10. Then what are you doing?
Go back to bed.
All right, so there's Bill's weekend. You get winded once you get up?
Yeah. I'll pull something in my arm.
Sure, I totally get that.
I have tennis matches both Saturday and Sunday already set up, so I'll play those.
Who are you playing?
The bad guys.
Cheaters?
Yeah, cheaters, scoundrels.
Is it tough to get a court on a Super Bowl Sunday?
No, I'm in a, I'm in a tennis league, so all that is taken care of for me. I just need to show up.
So the tennis league, you play matches every weekend?
Uh-huh.
Saturday. Do you have white shorts and a white shirt?
If it comes to that, I do.
Do you have a picture?
How many rackets do you have? I'm curious.
Three.
What kind of racket do you have?
Tennis racket.
What kind?
Oh, Bobolat.
Oh, yeah, you told me that because I used to play with the Prince, and I want to get a new one, and
everybody
you told me
went,
get a Bobolat.
Yeah, the days, I mean, Prince makes a good racket, but you want to get something French.
Does Anna Bolival have a Bobolat?
If she did, it would hurt us.
She does.
Why is the Bobolat a better racket?
You don't even have to do anything. You just hold it out, and it takes the shots for
it
you.
It returns everything?
Yeah. It decides forehand or backhand. You just hold it up, and it just hits the ball back.
What's the best part of your game? Seriously, the best part of your game.
I spin every single shot. There's no shot that I don't take that I don't spin.
Is that right?
And also,
so you must have a wicked drop shot.
Yeah.
Do you have the kind of spin where you don't even need an opponent?
Yeah.
You'll just spin it over the court and it bounces back to you?
It comes right back to me.
Yeah,
that's how I practice.
That's so hard, especially when you're playing someone who puts spin on the ball.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's coming right at you, and it just drops right over the net. Bing.
Also, even though I take a lot of ribbing for this on my own show, I'm ambidextrous, so I play left-handed and right-handed. So if the ball goes
to my... Do you have two rackets?
No, you're only allowed one racket.
Mm. Boy, you can play, so if you're going to hit a backhand, you just toss it to your
left hand
and then
hit
a forehand?
Way.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Has there ever been a pro that could do that?
I've been told somebody has done that in the past, but I don't know who.
Rod Laver?
I don't think it was Rod Laver.
No. He was lefty, I thought, right?
Yes, yeah. I believe
it was. Have you ever done the thing where you chase a ball to the baseline and you turn around and you whack it and it's between your legs and you actually clear the net?
I can't do that, but I watched John McEnroe do that last year. I was at a tournament that he was in and I saw him do it. And he can do it almost any time he wants to.
It seems like there's so much risk involved.
Oh, it's not worth it. If you miss that, it's not worth it.
Is tennis better for a left-handed player?
No. I don't think it is. Okay. Do you think it is?
I don't. I'm right-handed. I never played left-handed. But you playing both, I was just curious if it's easier for lefty.
Greatest male player of all time. It's got to be Federer, right?
I would go with Roger Federer.
Greatest female player of all time, I think, is a much tougher question.
Well, her last name is Williams.
No. Better than Chrissy Everett?
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about Vanessa.
Yeah, Vanessa Williams is the best of all time. And Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch was also a very good female tennis player.
So Serena Williams, best ever?
I think so.
I think you're
don't you
right.
think so?
Yeah, I
would
right.
put her up against Chrissy Everett.
Yeah,
and she's in the top three.
What about Martina?
She would be the other one in the top three.
Sandberg, you love tennis. Chrissy Who's Everett. The greatest female player of all time?
She's going to say Chrissy Everett.
Oh, she's busy. She's busy producing the show. No. She doesn't have time for our shenanigans.
She does want me to remind you, Steve, that there are blind date tickets that need to be given away before the end of the show.
I love Bill Leff so much. I'm the biggest Bill Leff fan right now.
You're very kind.
Serena Williams is the greatest athlete of all time, not just tennis
player.
That's
why the greatest
that's
athlete
very possible.
Of all time.
I believe that's true.
Her records compared to any athlete, she's been the most dominant force for over a period of time.
Are you including John Daly?
John Daly. Well, I've never seen her smoke during a match, so I can't speak on that.
Hello. He had a hoagie once during while he was putting.
Yeah, I played golf with him. He ate a full Thanksgiving dinner. A pair of tickets to Blind Date playing through February 25th at the Goodman. It's about Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev and the love they knew.
The forbidden love. Society was not ready for their love.
GoodmanTheater.org. I have a pair of those to the seventh caller now. All right. Do you know the Pivot questionnaire?
Mm-mm.
Okay, you know, Inside the Actor's Studio.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So at the end of the Inside the Actor's Studio program, they always ask
Lipton's questions.
Yeah, that's actually done by a Frenchman named Pivot. That's where he gets
questions.
Oh, I
didn't know that.
I'm going to ask you these because I like your answers.
All right.
Okay. What is your favorite word? Mine is linoleum.
Fizzy.
Fizzy. Fizzy is a very good choice. What is your least favorite word? Mine's hyphenated. It's torn tendon.
Torn tendon is a I don't know if I have a least favorite, I'll Steve, but torn tendon is bad.
No, you can't have mine.
Oh, you already... yes. Everyone gets their own?
Yes, yes. Asparagus is available.
I'll take asparagus.
All right. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
You do.
Wow.
Okay, it just got weird.
Well, here's the weird part. I'm thinking that's the same answer for this one. What turns you off? Is it also me?
You do. But you know what? The magic of you is it could be within a minute or it could take a year that's for a those two point. To be different.
That's a fair point.
I never know.
Now, the next one's dangerous. So if it's the actual answer, you need to write it down and then pass it around so I can see it.
Oh.
But it may not be.
Okay.
Think of the last time you stub your toe in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite curse word?
I think I can say it, but just to be safe, I'll just give you the...
Hold on, let me put my finger over here.
I got it, Steve. I'm ready.
You got the delay button?
I got it, yeah.
There's a delay button over there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I work with you. There has to be.
All right, go ahead.
All right. It starts with... And it's not the long, sweary version of the word. It's the condensed four-letter version of the word.
Well, I'm nervous already.
It starts with M-O, and it ends with F-O.
Oh, mofo.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you can say that? Mofo. All right. You can say mofo.
That's my favorite word. That's my favorite swear word.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what the last word
is. Actually, hearing you say that would be amazing, because when I think about how long I've known you, I've rarely heard you curse.
Yeah, I don't swear curse that much. Often. No, only when needed.
Yeah, right? So you're appropriate swearing.
Yeah, my dad taught us when we were younger. He taught us to swear. We would sit down once
a
week.
What a sweet lesson.
Yeah. Because we'd be playing baseball, and then a bell would ring, and we'd go, oh, no, swearing lessons. And we'd have to sit in the den. And my dad would teach us, and he would always say, anyone could swear. The challenge is to come up with better words for your emotions.
Ah,
very nice. So I only swear when necessary.
Can I take my hand off the button now?
Yes. What sound or noise do you love? And I can tell you mine. Kids laughing. I love the sound of kids laughing or giggling.
Unless they're on a plane.
That's
unless they're on a 14-hour plane.
Even
ride.
On a plane.
One of my settings on my white noise machine is underwater bubbles. I fall asleep very peacefully on the sound of under... Yeah, like, oh, now look at me. I'm getting all dozy.
Wait, which goes back to your favorite word, fizzy.
Yeah, fizzy.
All ties together. Yeah. Look at you, Andrea.
Yeah.
If you ever, for my birthday, want to surprise me, just take me to a carbonation tank and submerge me.
What sound or noise do you hate? And I would have to go from this for the soundtrack from the ABBA movie. Yeah, that would be the one for me.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a good movie aside from Pierce Brosnan.
No, that would be mine. Have you got one? Sound or noise you hate? People say it's, you know, like fingernails on a chalkboard. Those all are all cliche. What's yours?
Please welcome Kevin Hart.
Oh, that is so much funnier than people realize. Oh, that's fantastic. You can also see the note that Andy...
What's Andy's?
It's a curse word that he can't show.
Oh, yeah, you can't say that on the radio. Yes. Andy, what's wrong with you?
Sorry. What profession, other than the one you now have, would you like to attempt? Will you be a pro tennis player?
I would what a way to make a living.
What's the backup to pro tennis?
But you know what? I know people that have tried to be pro tennis players, mm-hmm. and they start to hate the game, and I would never want that to happen.
Well, I think it comes with any job, don't
you? Yeah, I guess so. Hated this, have you?
No. No, are you kidding? We're so lucky.
It's impossible.
But what's your backup other than your backup?
I wanted to be a screenwriter. That's what I went to school for. Yeah. So yeah, I would go
with
that.
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that
mine,
be fun?
Divvy bike wrangler.
Nice.
The guy that takes all the divvy bikes and puts them back in the rack at the end of the day.
We could probably work that out for you.
It's a glamorous job.
Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Whenever I see people cleaning the windows on high rises, I get all wobbly.
There is a building going up. Where is the parking lot? The parking lot's back
behind us.
Yeah, there's a giant building going up, you know, towards the lake.
Yeah.
It's got to be some of that construction on East Wacker where we're moving. And the building's not complete.
Right.
And there's a guy on top of the building. Strapped in something, you hope.
Yeah.
Walking around with Windex and a rag.
I know, I see him.
It's unbelievable.
I'm not kidding. I know this sounds like I'm exaggerating, but if somebody said, here's a check for $5 million, you just have to do that for a day. Nope. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it either.
Come on, really?
No, I couldn't.
Absolutely couldn't do it.
Oh, I would.
I can't even approach. Like, I have friends who live in high rises, and on their balcony, they walk right up to the end and they hang over and they look down and stuff. But I can't do that.
You know, I can't. I'll tell you, I bet it is for me. I can't even go to that glass floor thing over at the Willis Tower.
Oh, no way.
Oh,
no,
that's cool.
All right, last one. If heaven exists,
yes,
what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
We'll see you in 300 years.
Yeah, see, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come back in 300 years, sir.
I would like to see him take a look at the clipboard and go, yeah, you're here. You're on the list.
You're here.
Because the bad news would be, wrong elevator.
Yeah, I know.
If he keeps flipping pages. Don't see that here,
Cocker. You got a plug for today?
Yeah. We have guests and topics.
No, don't read the top part.
Oh, just not
the
part.
That's the part you didn't fill in. Yeah, it's the part you filled in is what you want to read.
We have the frontman of Super Diamond, Surreal Neil. This is a tribute to Neil Diamond
that
we
understand is amazing. I heard the promo where you were singing.
Yeah, did you like that?
Yeah, crackling.
Long Serenade. Serenade. You don't hear that much anymore.
Yeah. That was a Devil in Blue Jeans or Forever in
Blue
Jeans?
Forever in Blue Jeans.
Yeah. See, I had to make it dirty. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN. Wendy has joined the fray. Wendy, Bill, have a nice weekend.
Thank you, Steve, and you and yours.
There's nothing more we can do here. Wendy, you got a Super Bowl pick? Who are you picking?
I'm going Eagles because the kicker is from LT High School, and that's where I live in LaGrange.
Yes. They had a big ceremony for him the other day.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. I haven't had one single kicker-based pick. That's tremendous.
Until now.
All right, see you Monday.